much about.
When people say, no, you're bad, at some point, you really need to listen.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Penis. Kevin and Bean,
yes.
And I love them to death. I really do, and I can't believe I'm saying this on national television. They've been so supportive. They're so great. All the whole crew back there, Ralph and Alex and the King of Mexico and Omar, everybody. They're the greatest co-workers in the world.
And now, and yes, we know that some of them are gay.
Our feature presentation.
But not Lisa, is what we noticed about that list.
She wasn't
great. Not a great, a co-worker, just not a great co-worker.
Correct.
Not supportive.
Right. And others, that's you.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I was even in others.
It was a catch-all.
I didn't hear me in others.
Everybody else, yeah, that's a catch-all.
And everybody else. Meaning,
who everybody else? Give me some other names besides me.
That's a good point.
Pretty much just Chip.
Dead Man Walking,
yeah.
Chip. Our surf punk handyman.
Well, that certainly is a group I belong in.
Yeah.
People whose names you don't even know.
So she's really the only one on the morning show.
Dean Sheffrin.
How does Lisa's name not come to mind when you're naming the people that you work with every day that stand within 5 feet of
you
during the show?
We went over this.
Yeah, we did go over this.
That support you.
That actually do support you a little bit more.
It's the only one.
Yeah.
It's true. I know.
She's your only support.
I feel horrible. I flat out don't think you feel horrible enough.
Yeah.
All I know is that Hilary Swank, when she won her Oscar a few years ago, forgot to thank her husband. And what do you think happened to that marriage?
Yep.
They got a divorce.
Done.
Stronger?
They got a divorce.
Well, you can't get over that.
No. You can't get over it. That's a slight.
Yeah.
Is what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
hey,
you and Lisa are going to have to break up. Sorry.
We are.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the third, I guess, of February. Here's a story. Psycho Mike, I need your professional opinion on this one because, you know, you're on the love line and maybe you've had experience with this topic because of calls on the show. A woman must register as a predatory offender after pleading guilty in a case where she was accused of grabbing a man by his genitals and yanking them hard enough that he needed stitches.
Oh, man!
What do you suppose, because there's not much more detail in terms of the actual injury in the article, what do you suppose happened there?
She lacerated the skin in his nutsack.
Yeah.
So, meaning she, like, separated the testicles from his body?
Is that
the weak spot on the genitals that would break if you pulled hard enough?
I think the area that, yeah.
Mike would know.
The skin that connects the base of the twig from the berries.
Could it be fingernails? Or could it just be?
It could be that, but
brute force.
What I have found out from the many calls you take and you sit next to Drew and other doctors and they answer it is that anything in that area can be broken or scarred or cut. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know that you could really like break your wiener. I didn't know that you could really open up the sack and like your testicles. Like that all can happen. Like that all is very real.
This is a bad start.
Sheila Mae Baker, 55 years old, by the way, was sentenced to 5 years probation, must perform 240 hours of community work service. She pleaded guilty to third-degree assault for causing substantial body harm. She's denied grabbing the man, and this is my favorite part of the whole story, telling officers he, quote, must have done it to himself, end quote.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome if he did?
I have bad news for Sheila Mae Baker. No one's going to believe that a guy pulls his own genitals hard enough that they break. Right? You don't do that to yourself.
Well, I would guess not, but you never know with, you know, certain people and certain
sexy
drugs.
Time, yeah.
You know.
Police found a man wearing a t-shirt and bloody underwear when they responded to a domestic disturbance call.
Oh, man.
The man said that the woman, Baker, had been drinking for 3 days, had choked and hit him several times. She came into the kitchen to get more ice for a drink while he was there, and that's when she grabbed him by the genitals.
He was transported
to the hospital where he received stitches for the tear. I don't think I don't think she gets another date. I think that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, I would say for sure.
I don't know. What does she look like?
That's a good point.
Drinking for 3 days at 55 years old, probably
good, right?
Picture the guy going into the emergency room, though, and having to explain. Like, I don't know if he took an ambulance or if he drove himself.
Mm-hmm.
It said the victim was transported, okay. So it sounds like they took him.
That's good. So at least they probably explained what it was. Because if he drove himself, then he's in the He's in the waiting room, and he's trying to yell through
with
that bulletproof
underwear.
That bulletproof glass, which they can't hear. I ripped off my genitals! What, sir? So that would be even better, but wow, that's...
I know it's a rough story. It's a tough way to start, but everything else that happens to you today is going to seem fine in comparison. Whatever minor inconveniences you have in your life, you can think back, hey, at least I'm not the guy Kevin Bean was talking about. I almost had his genitals ripped off in his kitchen.
Right.
Good point.
Unless that happens to someone.
Unless that happens to you, in which case we'll talk about you tomorrow.
Right. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Bean show, shall we?
I really think that the show is a gift to society.
That's pretty accurate, I think. No, it's not accurate at all. That's a ridiculous
nice
thing to
try.
Say. Thanks for that info, Bean.
It's where you make up stuff that you allege that I say that's not interesting.
During the commercials and the songs that we play, Bean reads on the internet and then just has bizarre, random, one-off conversation. It's not conversation. Monologue, more.
Mm-hmm.
And I write it down verbatim, and it's shocking. The stuff that he comes
or
up with.
Or I'm a very social friendly person who
right.
likes to interact on a pleasant level with his coworkers. To the enjoyment of all.
To the pleasant level, pleasant, enjoyment. Describe those words. What do those mean?
Bean, I reject you totally.
Come on.
Let's see. We have tickets for the Big Four. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Metallica, Anthrax, Megadeth.
Pretty popular.
So that's only three.
Slayer.
Slayer. There's a fourth. Spencer Pratt, commercial spokesman.
No.
Is that possible?
No.
KFC, according to the rumor yesterday, sent him a letter saying, we heard you mention us in your rap song, and we'd like you to, you know, do a song for us and be our spokesperson. So
Spencer Pratt seems like the kind of, I hate to say celebrity, personality that would turn people away from buying a product if they saw him advertising.
And
they would just say, I don't have anything to do with
it. Everyone knows that, right?
Yeah, no, I would think, here's the thing. You could never tell, like, if people are serious or they're just trying to cash in
right,
with
right.
some free
this
publicity.
Is, right.
So, you know, maybe KFC wrote this knowing that it would get picked up by TMZ, it would get reported. They have no intention of hiring
You're
him, probably.
Right.
And that happens a lot. So we'll talk about that. Apparently, there's a revolt, and people here do not think that I am qualified to pick interns, and I would like to disagree strongly.
I'm sure you would.
As I have hired the best interns, and everybody else hires boring. So that's,
this will be debated.
That's science.
We'll discuss later, but everyone else's criteria is competent people who are interested in doing the job to help the show.
Right. Now, how boring is that?
Your criteria is this person going to entertain me?
Yeah, comedy. That's right. What I use my vote in every way for. That's why I'm sad. I'll never have another George W. Bush to vote for.
I don't know, man. The way this country's going,
he was comedy.
Probably plenty more.
Oh, on a daily basis, we would have stuff from him.
Yeah.
But you got to vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger. That helped, right?
That's true. He doesn't really screw up as publicly as George W., though. I mean,
right.
George W. really brought it. He was serious about really destroying the English
he
language.
He set the bar.
He set the bar pretty high, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, I would like to say we should mark this tape because in about a year, when it looks like Sarah Palin is going to win the presidency, you're going to have the opportunity to vote in that comedy direction.
Nope, that's not comedy. Let's see. We have KBC today.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving away
more
crap.
Items. Yeah. We've given away a lot of stuff. We've given away a Rain of Fire promotional fire extinguisher. We've given away a pair of binoculars. We've given away a gumball machine with 7-year-old gumballs. We've given away the Obamarator.
Oh,
which
hate to see that
Lisa
guy.
Really wanted.
I did.
WWE Pimp Cup still exists and
still
up for grabs. And I would like to go in the other room and call. So that I could win that.
We got an email yesterday from the guy who dropped off the promotional cardboard stand-up of Britney Spears. He's the guy who dropped it off 8 years ago.
That's one of the things we're giving away.
He said, you guys are playing around about keeping all that crap. What are you, hoarders?
Yeah.
He's the one who gave it to us and said he couldn't believe that we still had it, and now we were giving it away.
Well, that's the thing, is you put it someplace, and then you don't see it again, and it's just...
It's behind a door or
it was
something.
Behind a door. And, I was surprised that it wasn't at least defiled a little bit more.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could do that before we send it out.
And we'll talk about Lamar Odom and his comment about his wife, Khloe Kardashian, and how she's smarter than, what did he say, smarter than the rest of the family?
He was surprised how smart she was.
considering she was. I mean, he made some kind of a slam on the family.
She's smart. I can't believe how smart she was for a Kardashian.
Yes.
Something along that line.
Yes. Why do I hate Anderson Cooper, apparently, is on the schedule today. And we're going to talk to Dr. Drew.
Ah, good.
Who was confirmed. I think the last time we talked to him, we weren't sure what he had. He threw around some big names from when he was on vacation, and there was some rat poop, and he got some disease. Apparently, it was full-on bird flu. How great is that?
You've always wanted the bird flu.
Bean always wanted.
Was it Bean?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't want the bird.
So jealous.
Bean can have it.
Well, but it was
good point, Dr.
Yes, that is a good point. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat, and that is next. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:49.
What was in the yogurt?
That's an outstanding question.
We did that yesterday. We're done. Right. Good with that.
We found out what was in the yogurt, and you don't want to know.
So we can retire that whole conversation.
Yeah.
What we found out about that story is that only Lisa and Mike would recognize the taste of what was in the yogurt.
That's correct.
All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Ralph Garman joins us each hour at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about today?
Congratulations to Kevin. Broke up another band. Well done, Kevin.
Yeah. Kevin.
No kidding, by the way.
Wait. What band?
Nice job, Kevin.
If you think of the bands that Kevin has broken up over the years.
I haven't broken up any bands.
Should we Blink 182. Blink.
Yeah.
Broke them up.
It wasn't my fault.
Yes.
Rage Against the Machine.
Rage. Broke them up.
I found out they were broken up and told everyone first.
Yeah. Well, maybe they hadn't decided whether they were going to be committed or not. Yeah. And then when you broke the news, it was a fait accompli.
I did not break them up. That's my favorite band.
Fait accompli?
Was.
And the Blink 182, by the way, that was just sad because remember he was just essentially just mocking Tom for not being a part of Mark and Travis's side project. Oh, they don't like you very much. Oh, you're not allowed to be the band.
Hey, stranger. Hey, guy against his face against the window looking in. He mocked him to the point where...
It's not
they
true.
Had to split up. Well,
you guys are lying.
Yesterday we found out that Kevin had broken up another band. Apparently the White Stripes are no longer going to be performing together.
Kevin.
How will he find another drummer? The caliber of Meg.
Yeah.
How will that work?
She's better looking than she is a drummer, if I tell you how bad things are. They have said on their website, apparently, that they want to preserve the beauty and the magic that was the White Stripes.
What does that mean?
I guess things are so bad they don't want to go out limping. They'd rather just leave it as it was and just go their separate ways.
We did good work.
They were a great band.
They were. And Jack will do great music in the future, I'm sure. Because I believe Meg's input was supportive in nature and
super necessary.
Perhaps not critical.
But I'm going to say this, and I know you have your mind made up. Obviously, Jack loved working with her and utilized what she brought to the mix. You could say the same thing about John Oates. What the hell does John Oates ever do with Hall & Oates? But you know what? Hall & Oates records, a million times better than Daryl Hall records.
You know what?
There's some chemistry involved.
Daryl Hall, very different than Jack White. Very different.
Yeah.
Jack White is a genius.
And I agree.
Has a ton of projects and makes great music. And any music he would have made with the White Stripes, he'll make in another form and we'll get to enjoy it, appreciate it. It'll be fine.
Well, I hope so. Obviously, I love Jack White, too. I can't wait to see what he does next. I'm really going to miss the White Stripes, though, because that was easily the best of his many bands.
But we don't have to look at her anymore, so we got that going for us.
But we're
going to
say again, the White Stripes was all him.
Right.
So don't worry.
So he'll be more him soon. In fact, he plans to release a Jack White album. So I'm sure all that kind of music that we would have lost from the White Stripes we'll get from Jack.
He'll hire a drummer.
Yes,
that's what's going to happen.
That we can look at. Without using those pinhole cameras you look at the eclipse with. Without putting on those shades we used to have to wear. I'm just saying. It's okay, folks. It's all right.
Everything's good.
We'll be good. Congratulations to Craig Ferguson. He and his wife, Megan, welcomed a baby boy into the world on Monday. Liam James Ferguson. Liam.
It's a good Irish name.
Yeah. Sure. Craig's Scottish, but what the hell? We'll let him go. Cut him some slack. People talking about the fact that Halle Berry and her baby daddy, Gabriel Aubrey, is getting ugly in terms of their custody battle. She released a statement this week saying she worries about the well-being of their daughter, Nala, around her father, and she wants to raise her by herself.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a rough swipe.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
what's he got going on? What's her concern with him? She doesn't really specify.
Although Gabriel is fired back, saying to Access Hollywood that he's disappointed in Halle's decision to falsely malign him publicly for her own purposes. My take on it is she is really cheesed off at him and doesn't want to have to deal with him, because when you share custody with a child, that's constant contact you have with for the rest of your life, at least next 18 years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think she feels she would rather just do it on her own and cut him out of the picture completely. But he's right. Unless she's got some sort of proof and can take it to the courts or something, it's really not right. Cool to publicly malign this guy for whatever purposes that she has. Meanwhile, word is, Gabriel has all kinds of text messages and voicemails from her where she's just spinning out and being a total lunatic bitch.
Yeah.
Like a female Mel Gibson rant.
Wow. When do they start releasing those?
I don't know, but Radar Online better get on it, because I want to hear. Because sometimes you just get a sense about somebody. I get the sense she is just a bitch.
Really? I don't get that sense.
Just a high maintenance, all about me, look at me, egocentric ball buster.
But you should look at her.
I don't get that.
You should look at her. That is accurate.
We're already looking at her, but not enough for her taste, I'm guessing.
I see.
Yeah. And but she is a vessel, by the way, who kicked down the door.
That did
not
forget
that.
I forgot.
She'll be the first woman ever to raise a baby on her own if this goes through the way she wants.
Yeah. So I'm guessing we're not done with this story yet.
I don't care.
Come on, Mel. You should care. Get some heat off of you. Speaking of Mel, friends are telling Access Hollywood that he may be a lot sicker than anyone expected. All of his troubles may have stemmed from the fact that the failure of his marriage to his longtime wife, Robin, back in 2006, really drove him over the edge, crushed him, destroyed his soul.
I don't care. Well,
they were married for, 28 years or something crazy like that?
Had 10 kids or something.
Right.
That's when he started drinking again, was when that marriage fell apart.
That's provocative, okay?
And one friend speculates that the night he was popped on DUI charges, when he was provoking the cops by yelling at him and using racial slurs and things like that.
Right.
That he, in essence, was trying to arrange what they call death by cop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. In his drunken state, he was trying to commit suicide by provoking these cops to the point of violence.
So that they would end his life.
Yes.
Wow.
Because apparently earlier that night, according to a friend who was there, the actor who was drinking heavily got up and said goodbye to every table in the restaurant. The friend said he was acting as if it was his last day on Earth.
Wow.
Before he got into that car and that incident happened. So he may have more deep-seated emotional problems than we could even possibly imagine.
Is that when he told the female officer,
just smile and
I don't think that was
the
exact words he used with the cop. That may have been his girlfriend.
Although you are right, Ralph, that in the many years that he was together with his wife, when his life was stable, with the exception of a few badly timed words to the Jews, he stayed pretty clean. Seems like he stayed sober and did good work and was well liked and respected.
Yeah, it seemed with the failure of his marriage, this is when his troubles started. So
right,
kind of sad. Also sad is the fact that Playboy has announced they are going to do a celebrity, and I put that in quotes. Nude pictorial.
Who is it?
Mercedes Johnston. Finally, we get to see Mercedes Johnston in the magazine.
I don't know who that is.
Come on, guys. Mercedes Johnston.
Who is that?
You know, she's the 18-year-old younger sister of Levi Johnston, Bristol Palin's baby daddy.
No kidding.
She's a celebrity?
All right, maybe celebrity is a strong choice of word.
I bet she's hot, though.
Is she hot?
I hope.
Because as much of a zero as Levi is, he's handsome.
He's a good-looking fella.
So the actual celebrity is Sarah Palin, right?
Right.
And then her daughter is the spinoff, who's not really a celebrity, is famous only because she's Sarah Palin's daughter. And then Levi, her baby daddy, is a celebrity tangentially because he used to be with Bristol, who's the daughter of Sarah. And now his sister is where we're at now?
Yes.
Does she have any friends who can now be famous?
It is 6 degrees of celebrity. And,
oh, my God.
We'll see her in Playboy magazine. Look. Maybe she's hot. Oh, is this we got a photo?
Yeah, we have a photo. That's not a good photo. Let's find another one.
I'm guessing. Well, look at her. If you tart her up, right? If you do the makeup, right, in the hair, I don't know what her body's like, but if you look at her, I mean, I'm guessing she'll be fine.
Some airbrushing needed.
Look, that's the case of any playmate.
I know, but
I'm just saying.
You have to work overtime.
If you're 18 and you need a lot of airbrushing, though, just don't be in the magazine.
Well, these are all like snapshots. These are family, you know, holiday photos. It's very different from a staged. There you go. That's better.
That's better.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm just saying. I'm just saying, what? Where's Playboy at? Where are they?
Yeah,
when
good
that
point.
Seems like a good get for them.
Get Sarah Palin in the magazine. I'm in.
Are we out of cast members of Baywatch? Really? Has everyone been photographed now to the point where we don't need them anymore? And Charlie Sheen sent a little note of gratitude yesterday to the folks over at CBS and Warner Brothers, the cast and crew of Two and a Half Men. He apparently sent over a note yesterday thanking them for being so supportive.
Hey, sorry about the whole...
Hey, sorry you're out of work.
Ending the show thing?
I have a lot of work to do, he said in the note.
At home?
And he also said he is giving a nod to all the fans because he said they've touched him very much. Yeah, some fans have touched you more than others.
More than
Charlie.
Others.
Apparently, there were five fans the other night who were touching you significantly. And the guy carrying the suitcase of blow, he touched you as well, I'm sure.
He should be sending suitcases of blow to all the people on the show that
That's
he screwed
right.
over, by the way.
At least if they don't use it, they could sell it and put right. some food on the table for their kids.
That's a solid plan.
You know, F you, Charlie Sheen, because if you're writing blank checks to porn stars for $30,000 for a night of, which are, you know, one-off sex and some porn and some partying, $30,000 to that whore.
By the way, to hear her say it, there was not even one-off sex.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Oh, there was. Okay,
yeah, she said they had sex that night. She was surprised he could even function, she said.
Oh,
but
okay.
Apparently he managed.
All right.
She said it wasn't great, by the way.
Really?
Casey Jordan, yeah. It was a surprise. When a guy's had 9/5 of vodka and two 8-balls of blow.
She also said he had baseball-sized rocks of pure cocaine. I was like, whoa.
How much $30,000 for her. The guys, the grips, and the cameraman, and the guys who worked the lights every day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Every
year in, year out.
Every day of your job that has made you able to enjoy that lifestyle. He shouldn't have sent over a note. He should have sent a stack of checks.
Yeah.
And just everyone should have given a little rehab severance. Here's something to tide you over while I'm out of commission for the next 3 months.
Yep.
That's where he should be spending his money. Not on rocks of blow and not on porn stars. On the hardworking men and women of show business. Thank you. Thank you very much.
USA!
Vote for me.
USA!
Vote for me.
USA!
USA.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we?
I dare you.
How dare I? What's the middle of the birthdays? Nathan Lane. Oh.
Can I hear the impression again?
That was actually my Charles Nelson Reilly. I don't know what has to do with Nathan Lane, but
oh. He
is 55 years old today. Actor Thomas Calabro. Dr. Michael Mancini from Melrose Place.
Oh, yeah.
He's 52 years old. Actress Maura Tierney turns 46. Isla Fisher, very talented and lovely actress, is 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Thursday. Got big 4 tickets for you later on to give away. Also, Dr. Drew is here because it's Thursday, and why does Kevin hate? Which is, by the way, has become a feature that we could do every day.
Only it's... because when I hang out with you guys, you talk about, you have such different views than I do. When I'm around my friends, we never...
You all hate together.
No. You all hate everything?
No. You all hate people for no reason?
No, we don't. We don't have conflict with each other because we feel the same way.
But I sense that your life is like a clan meeting where everybody gets together and just hates on everything.
It's not even close.
All the Nazis agreed on everything too, Kevin.
That's not
when they're marching in the streets in Berlin.
Look, let's focus on who we need to focus on here, and that's Bean with a feature we call...
That's that info Bean!
Now, Bean has Asperger's.
Nope.
With a P, and that is a highly functioning form of autism.
No.
Super smart, but social skills not so good.
Right. How dare you?
And
able to register the reaction of a person while they're talking to them.
That's the thing. You
can't judge their audience.
You can't judge if the person you're speaking to, not really with, but to, is interested in what you're saying or not. There's no read, so he just takes for granted everyone's interested in everything.
You're really speaking at them.
Correct. Yes.
The assumption is I find this interesting, so everyone will find this interesting because I have Asperger's syndrome.
Right.
If I could give the Republican response, I'm just a very friendly social person, as you guys know.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I like to have enjoyable conversation at work. It makes the time go by fast.
Enjoyable for
everyone.
Okay.
You.
Now, just one ground rule, if you don't mind. We don't need further clarification.
Right. You don't need to explain why you thought it was interesting or why we should have thought it was interesting. All right?
We understand. We got it. We understand the topic.
We comprehended what you said.
Right.
We just can't comprehend why you said it.
So,
right, what lies do you have today?
During the commercials and the songs, Bean talks at us. And the rule in the studio is do not speak back when he says something like this. That because we're trying to help define for him our interests.
Do not engage. Do not engage.
Weird Al is on the Today Show tomorrow.
Okay.
And then no one said anything.
Right.
And then Bean said, he's got a new children's book.
Now,
we all are Weird Al fans here.
But
especially
easy,
Ralph.
Easy.
But we weren't talking about guests on the Today Show or
Weird Al. Right,
nothing. It was out of blue.
As much as we all love Weird Al, I thought that I would find a sympathetic ear to the fact that he's branched out and done something completely different I think sounds interesting.
For the 100 millionth time, you thought wrong.
And the only answer to that conversation, as you call it, is, that's the only possible reaction you could get. There's nowhere to go from there.
Or, I bet it's funny. Oh, I can't wait to see it. Oh, I look forward to his appearance tomorrow. Oh, thanks for telling me because I'll watch.
Okay,
I mean, there's a lot of other options it could have had.
How many of those did you get?
None of those were responded.
Yeah.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
The Labrador Retriever is the most popular dog in America.
Okay.
And
the
then
new, there was another list.
Pause.
It's the third year in a row.
The new list came
Thanks
out.
For that info, Bean.
Mike has dogs. Kevin has dogs.
Don't
Lisa has dogs. Ralph has
dogs.
I have dogs.
Don't need
I'm
for the clarification.
That's topical, though, for the room.
You're
that's
missing
a,
the point.
A subject that we're all interested in.
We don't
in.
Need more of this from you. We need less.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Did you know that anteaters are in the sloth family? Nothing. They're not members of the aardvark family.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
F you, really. Even on that one, you can see why we F you.
Anteaters. Except for the fact that it is commonly assumed that aardvarks and anteaters are not only the same family, but the same animal.
I've
it's
never thought one time about what family the anteater is a part
well,
of.
Well, I'm thinking of getting an anteater. That's why it was on my
Thanks
list.
For that info, Bean.
Interesting question. Are you allowed to start a conversation like that? Because really, we'll be the...
There's an assumption there that there's been a question asked.
No, he's saying there's one coming. That's what he's...
Oh, he's going to bring up
interesting
an interesting question.
He's so he's getting the rooms...
It.
He's getting
you
the rooms...
You got to love this. It's interesting. I'm forewarning you.
This was yesterday, which was the 2nd of February.
Okay.
Which happened to be Groundhog's Day.
Oh, no.
He didn't
Groundhog
start that
Day.
Way.
Oh, no.
He didn't start by saying, hey, it's Groundhog Day.
Right.
So he just said, interesting question. And then no one said anything because, you know, he was expecting us to go, yes. How many days, either full or partial, were portrayed in the movie Groundhog Day?
Now, we've all seen the movie.
That's
we all enjoyed
game.
The movie.
Don't need...
But who's ever done the math on how many days are portrayed?
We got that when you said it.
Not interested, first of all. Second of all, not interesting question. You started off your conversation with a fallacy.
Interesting question. That's for us to judge.
That's right.
You can't prejudge your conversation. That's not fair.
38.
Tunisia is where they filmed the Tatooine scenes in Star Wars.
Tunisia,
That's
very much, very much in the news. They had a government revolution
That's
a couple weeks ago.
Bean.
So it's been
That's
in the news.
That info Bean.
Interesting sidebar.
That's that info Bean.
It's only interesting sidebar if it's a sidebar to something. If Kevin and I are having a deep conversation about Tunisia, and you pipe up with, hey, by the way, you guys, do you know that's where they filmed Tatooine from Star Wars? Oh, okay, thanks for joining our reindeer games.
Sidebar does assume that there's a main conversation going on, but there wasn't. So there's no sidebar.
It's not even a bar.
There's an automatic setting on my microwave, and it's changed my whole world view.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Meaning, he continues,
oh.
you can heat up your food without entering the amount of time.
That's pretty effing rad,
info
by
Bean.
The way. I think you guys who appreciate
That's
technology.
Info Bean.
It's just like
That's
a
info Bean.
How hard is it to enter the time?
But there's no more guessing. You don't have to guess whether it's 3 minutes at 80% anymore
How
or 4 minutes at 70%.
How has that changed your whole worldview?
Yeah, what was your worldview like before if that because, had a profound effect on it?
Because now it's set it and forget it, man. It's just so much easier. I feel like I'm saving all that time and mental anguish.
It is a lot of time and mental anguish. That's really,
I microwave a lot. Come
sometimes
on.
I stand in front of the microwave crying because I don't know what how much time.
It's mental anguish, Kevin.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
And then Lisa followed that up with, knowing it was against the rules, I kind of want to talk to Bean about his microwave.
Oh, yeah! Oh, there you go.
But she didn't. She didn't. She just made that statement. She just wanted to put it out there.
I just bought one.
But she didn't.
That's a bad sign, though.
It is. That's true. All right. Now, I'm out of the room, and Psycho Mike wrote this down verbatim. Verbatim. So typical, Bean. I need to own a zebra. And then Psycho Mike says, oh, I have to tell Kevin, because he knows I write these down verbatim.
Right, right.
And then Bean says, hey, that's a perfectly reasonable statement.
It is.
And then Mike says, there were 10 seconds of silence. So no one said anything for 10 seconds. And then Bean followed it up with, zebras are rad. He doesn't like... He's not deterred by the fact that no one in the room is saying anything.
If he was, Kevin, would this be going on for years? If our response made any difference to him whatsoever, would any of this be happening?
Our response was Mike saying, I have to tell Kevin, meaning what you just said was a thanks for that info, Bean. And then Bean follows it up with more info.
He's never been met by anything but just dead silence. Silence that only could be replicated in the vacuum of space. And yet still, he comes up with this stuff because he has no... He doesn't give a crap about us and whether we're interested in what he has to say or not.
So I didn't go to Zebra. I was met with, I have to tell Kevin. And then, hey, that's a perfectly reasonable statement. And then nothing for 10 seconds. And then, zebras are rad. Now, why would... let's say you got through the first two statements. You know, zebras are rad.
I mean, in my defense, zebras are rad.
That's the truth. Info B.
The truth is the best defense in a court of law. You guys know that.
You really need to stop telling us that you think you're a friendly person and these are conversations and you're trying to tell us that it's something that's interesting. Because after years and years of hearing the deadly silence that follows you saying these things, you must know that no one cares.
Look, just because you can't keep up your end of the conversation doesn't mean my end is failing. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, I remember what your fear was, Kevin, when Lamar Odom had the whirlwind romance, he, of course, of the Los Angeles Lakers, when he met and married Khloe Kardashian in a month. Yeah. I remember your fear was, hey, we need Lamar focused over here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Don't need any kind of distractions, because once you marry into the Kardashian clan, all of a sudden you get a reality TV show, and then you're thinking about lots of other things. You're thinking about boutiques in New York and perfumes and everything else. And that's exactly what's happened, by the way, is Lamar... It seems like he's spending all of his time now talking about and doing stuff with Khloe, right?
Everybody knows when you have a favorite sports team.
Yes.
And then you bring in that outside influence. If it's not healthy, then they're ruining your whole sports team. Like, that's a big thing. That's not just small.
Right. It's the Yoko Ono effect. It's that you don't screw with the chemistry of the guys in the band. That's what happens.
So Lamar Odom... I'm sorry. Lamar Odom was doing an interview with Playboy magazine. And he said, let's see, they dated for 32 days before getting married. 32 days. Wow. And his quote was, I was kind of surprised at how intelligent she was.
Uh-oh.
Now that's sort of backhanded, isn't it? That means I thought she'd be stupid.
Yes. How smart is Lamar?
You don't know what to expect from that family.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, I'm spending every day with her. We just hit it off. So that doesn't seem incredibly smart to say.
I don't know how smart Lamar is, Lisa, but I do know that he married Khloe Kardashian. So
no
you
more.
Can really draw your own conclusions. Well, we asked producer Alex to find out if that comment in Playboy magazine has caused any ripples in the Lamar Odom Khloe Kardashian home, and I believe we have them on the line right now. I'm not sure who's got the phone right now. Hello, Kevin and Bean here.
Hello.
Oh, Lamar.
Yeah, doing good.
What's up, man? I don't know about all that, but I do know that you said you were kind of surprised at how intelligent your wife was, and maybe that wasn't the best wording possible for that sentence.
No, she's really smart. I'm just surprised by that. I'm surprised she wasn't smart she is.
You were surprised by how smart she is?
Yeah. I know she's beautiful, but I didn't know how smart she was.
Right.
You're married. She was damn smart.
Is that because you what you had seen on the television of the Kardashian sisters? You just figured they were just airheads.
Yeah, also, you know, woman that giant, you don't think she's going to be that smart.
A woman right. that giant, yeah. you don't expect to be
she's
that
big,
smart.
She's a big woman.
She is a big woman. That's
she's
true.
She's not small,
but you're a big man, so
totally not small.
She is not
she's
small.
She's not small.
Not small.
That's correct.
Because she doesn't have to be smart because she can just crush everything in her path, right?
Oh, man, why are you going to be like that?
Well, now, she must not be in the room because you wouldn't be talking about her that way, right?
No, she's in the other room. She's in the other room.
Okay.
Right. You want to talk to Chloe?
Well, yeah, sure.
Chloe, get on the phone. No, come here, get on the phone.
Oh. Wow.
So I hope they get the security to buzz it back when they move out of this place.
Hello?
Hi, Chloe.
Hi. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
It's actually Kevin and Bean.
What?
How are you today? It's Kevin and Bean.
Who are they?
We're doing a radio show here. We're talking to you.
Okay.
So we talked to your husband, Lamar. How's it going, by the way? You guys have been married quite a while now. Is
we
it going good?
We are very much in love. We couldn't be more in love. He loves me for my beauty and my brain.
Right.
And it's great to be appreciated. And I love him for his money.
Right.
And his darkness.
Well, now, he's awfully dark.
He said in Playboy magazine he was surprised at how intelligent you are. Did you take that poorly?
No, not at all. Because as often the case when you see a beautiful woman and you see her on the street and you go, oh, my God, look how gorgeous she is, how she just radiates beauty.
Right.
Sometimes that beauty just blinds you and you don't really think about the brain that's underneath.
And you think that's the case with you?
Yes, he saw me and said, oh, my God, she's so beautiful.
Are you sure he wasn't looking at Kim?
It's not possible that she also could have a brain in her head, too.
All right.
But I'm also a successful businesswoman with Dash.
Right.
Let's start Dash.
Right.
We've got one in Miami. We've got one in New York.
Right.
And I think he was just surprised that I'm really, really, really smart.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But you don't think whatever success you've had, no offense here, although it's going to sound that way, is just because your last name is Kardashian and Kim is famous?
No. I'm ingenious and I also invent a lot of things besides just being an excellent clothes seller.
You invent things?
Yes.
Like what?
Well, for instance, let's take Lamar Odom.
Yeah.
Okay. My husband.
Yes.
Right.
He loves candy.
Right.
And we found that the only problem he has is while he's sleeping, he can't eat candy.
He does eat candy while awake all day long.
All day long.
That's correct.
But he wanted more candy. He wanted to eat candy while he was sleeping.
Okay.
Okay.
And so through this very ingenious set of pulleys, levers, and tubing, I have created sort of like a spout that pours M&M's into his mouth while he sleeps.
Okay. Is there any fear that he might choke on those?
Well, look, you always run a risk with anything. But we think it's worth it because this way he's satisfied not only while he's awake but while he's asleep.
I see. Okay.
We're going to try it out. You want to
wait? Sure.
Lamar, come here. We're going to try this out. I'm ready. It's going to be awesome.
I'm nervous about this.
Don't. Lamar, don't do this. I think this might be a bad idea. Maybe in the off season.
That's a lot of M&M's.
Maybe.
Be careful, Lamar. Lamar, be careful.
See, this is where things can... Chloe, that's enough!
Who has that many M&M's?
You all right?
Chloe's not that smart.
Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. Dr. Drew joins us later on today. Right now, though, got to talk about Egypt. Freaking Egypt, by the way. Look, people, I'm hungry, too. You don't see me out in the streets beating people up.
I don't think you're the same.
I am. I had dinner last night at like 6:30. I haven't had any since. I'm hungry. What I'm saying is I'm not out there hitting Anderson Cooper in the head because I'm hungry. I'm just saying relax a little bit, Egypt.
Full-scale rioting in Egypt right now. It's not a good place to be.
I got to tell you, in all seriousness, I don't remember ever seeing video like this that's coming out of Egypt every single day. I mean, of literally a million people in the streets just looking for trouble, just out there, just busting stuff up and getting in fights. And yesterday it really got bad because, machine guns started coming out and people started getting killed. I mean, it is a mess over there because they're trying to force their president to resign. And, of course, every newscaster is out there. You tune into NBC Nightly News. You'll see Brian Williams live from Cairo or something like that. Anderson Cooper has been on the ground for a couple of days there. And that's what kind of gets us into this discussion. Kevin thinks Anderson Cooper, the face of CNN, should not be in Egypt covering the news.
No, I don't at all. But if you're gonna walk out into the middle of a riot, don't be surprised if you get hit in the face. So apparently, Anderson Cooper got hit in the face like 10 times, which is awesome. He went out and he tried to get right in between the two protesting sides.
The pro and the anti-President Mubarak.
Okay, now these are guys that are throwing haymakers. They're throwing bombs with their fists all day long, and he's going to get in between them and do a news story.
Right.
So I think it's just me, but I would expect to be hit if I was in that position. Like, I would think that's not safe.
Well, it's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think Anderson Cooper has been to enough of these situations where he knows that the possibility exists that he's going to get hurt in the line of his work. Yeah, absolutely.
So he's out there, and people start hitting him. Apparently, he has his flip phone video camera going, which you can see at TMZ. But here's him describing what happened to him.
Right in front of the Egyptian Museum, that's where I was just about 15 minutes ago. We were trying to make our way to kind of the no man's land between the two groups. We never got that far. We were set upon by pro-Mubarak supporters punching us in the head.
Okay. That seems bad, right?
It is bad.
They're punching him in the head.
Yes.
That's bad.
But it's not his fault.
Yes, it is his fault.
Why do you say that?
Because if a local newscaster was covering a fire and jumped into it and got burned, you would go, hey, dumbass, don't go where you're going to get hurt.
But
because you would know they're fighting each other. They don't care who he is.
They did. The pro-government forces are attacking the American journalists because they're reporting what they think is slanted coverage back to the United States.
So they have more reason to hit him in the head.
So they were seeking them out because he was doing his job. Why do you hate Anderson Cooper for doing his job?
I like Anderson Cooper, but I'm saying he really should expect to be hit if he's going to go in the middle of a full-scale riot.
But it wasn't a riot. There were two sides, and there was a blank zone in the center with military tanks and troops that were keeping the two sides apart. There was a big area there where the press had been in front of that hotel that they weren't up against each other. He didn't step in between two guys. There was a big area there where everyone was reporting from.
Have you watched the video from his flip phone?
That's when it collapsed in and they attacked him.
It was just craziness. Yes. There's just people everywhere. And you hear like bombs being thrown. Boom, boom. Oh, I just got hit in the head.
But we should be celebrating his bravery and the fact that he was doing his job rather than you saying he was stupid and deserved what he got.
Why do you hate
Anderson Cooper?
No, I like Anderson Cooper. I think he's great. I really do. But if you're going to walk into a riot scene, I don't know, you're going to get hit.
But he didn't run into the middle of a riot.
He did.
He did.
Watch the flip video. Watch it. Again, there's people. It's that, pandemonium.
The flip video is when they started attacking him. That's when he started rolling it.
They at first started going for the cameras. They didn't want any pictures taken. But frankly, we weren't even really taking pictures with the big camera. I was using a little flip camera, which they didn't notice. We immediately started to turn around. We realized the situation would get very bad very quickly.
All right, so now he realizes, hey, this might not be a good idea because there's a lot of people here who might not be happy. Now, I'm suggesting he could have forecasted that. That's what I'm saying. He could have predicted.
What about reporters that are embedded with troops? Should they not go?
They should be killed. How do you get this story? No. They should have known that when they're going out. They should be shot in the head.
No, but if they get shot, it shouldn't be a surprise.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
We turned around and started to walk just calmly. The crowd kept growing, kept throwing more punches, kicks, trying to grab us.
Punches and kicks, trying to grab them.
Yeah.
Good.
It was pandemonium.
By the way, doesn't that make Anderson happy? All right, never mind.
There was really no control to it. Suddenly a young man would come up.
All right, well, there's no control to it.
Right.
Right. He knew that before he went in.
But he's been reporting on this story for 2 weeks, and he hasn't been punched and kicked. This is the first time.
Look at you and then punch you right in the face.
Guy would come up and look at you and punch you in the face. What do you think Anderson felt?
The instinct is to try to punch back or push back, but in a situation like that, you really can't because that just inflames the crowd all the more. So all we could do is just try to walk as quickly as possible, stay together, and seek a safe location, which is where we are now.
I'm saying he should have started at the safe location. That's my point. If there's a riot,
go there to report on a story if you're just going to stay in a safe location and just do cutaways back to the studio in Washington?
Because
why bother going?
What's the point of him getting punched in the face? We know that's going on. You can see it on the news every night.
It was a byproduct of him trying to do his job.
So he caused more violence, is what you're saying.
No, not at all.
There was no violence until Anderson Cooper got there, and then everybody went crazy. That's what you just told me.
No, he was attacked by pro-government forces. This is the first time journalists have been attacked in the course of this story. It's not a common occurrence.
The other ones were lucky, then, because if you're going to walk in the middle of a riot, maybe you should expect to get hit in the head. That's what happens in riots. That's like going into a pit at a concert and going, I couldn't believe it. Somebody knocked me over. You know what I mean? Like,
but at the time he went down there, they weren't fighting. They weren't throwing punches at him.
So they were.
He said it himself. He went to what they call a no man's zone, which was a space there that had been blockaded by the government, keeping the two factions separate. That's where he was reporting from.
Right.
And then the pro-government forces literally attacked, and they've attacked several other news crews because they don't like what they're reporting.
Okay. So what you're saying is there were two groups that weren't fighting until Anderson Cooper walked into the middle of them, and then mayhem broke out.
They attacked him. They didn't attack the other. They wasn't about. He was between them and the other forces. These forces attacked the journalists specifically. He may have been attacked wherever he was.
I'm with Kevin. Anderson should be doing this story from a beach in Italy.
Lake Como.
Not a beach in Italy, but for God's sakes. I'm saying again, if you're covering a fire and you're in the middle of it, you're an idiot. You're going to get burned.
But if you're covering a fire, you don't stay in your hotel and talk about it while you look out the window.
But you can get close, and you can show people everything.
And sometimes things happen when you get close.
Being in the middle of it.
What if you're at a fire and the building suddenly collapses and there's some debris and you get hit by it? Does that mean you shouldn't ever cover a fire because that could happen?
No, but you should be more careful, and you shouldn't be surprised if that happens.
How should Anderson have covered the story?
From a distance that didn't cause a bunch of extra violence, which is how you're describing it. They were fine until he got there.
And so someplace Anderson where Cooper's the problem.
Yes, if he wasn't there, there would be no
riot.
So
Mubarak is good.
That's
Cooper should leave. Leave Cooper, leave.
There would be no rioting if Anderson Cooper wasn't there stirring it up.
You are magic.
That's my point. Have it KROQ. Don't forget K-Rock's big game party Sunday at Key Club Hollywood featuring the Dirty Heads performing live. Admission is free. More details at krock.com. It is 6:56.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Thanks for checking us out. Ralph Garmer is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I want to give everybody the heads up. Tomorrow, tickets go on sale for the Red State USA tour here in Los Angeles, if you're so inclined to check it out. This is the new movie from my buddy Kevin Smith. He is taking it around the country. He is distributing the film himself. Starting off with this tour, he's taking the film from city to city. He's doing a Q&A with some of the cast and himself, and he's showing the film. It's going to be happening at the Wiltern Theater here in Los Angeles in April. April 9th, I believe, is the date, and tickets go on sale tomorrow if you want to check it out. And then the movie will be in wide release in October, so if you don't want to pay the extra to see the Q&A and stuff, that's cool. But I would suggest you go. It's
We're having Kevin in on the show tomorrow. We can talk more about how this whole thing's going to work. But why is he taking it by hand from city to city? Is there only one copy of the movie?
Yes, first of all.
That's going to be a long, long tour.
But what he wants to do is sort of reinvent how independent films specifically are distributed. He can't see the percentage, the upside in taking a film that costs $4 million to make and throwing $25 or $30 million at marketing and advertising and then expecting that film that has, let's face it, a limited appeal. It's not going to be a blockbuster. It's a quirky, strange, little dark film that will predominantly be attractive to his core audience of fans. Why would you spend that extra money and then not be able to recoup any sort of profit on it?
Makes sense.
He's afraid a big studio would take it and then dump it on DVD or something, or sell it right to cable because they don't see the profit in releasing it. So he is not only controlling now the product, but how that product is distributed. So
it's funny, he's creating a literal viral video is what he's doing.
Yeah, right.
Taking it to a city and then other people can't wait to see it.
And with the tour, you get the extra bonus of you see the film, and then Smith comes out and does a Q&A, and then some of the cast is going to be with him throughout the course of the tour. I'm going to the New York City one. We're opening up at the Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, we can come along. When is that?
No, they canceled it. They just canceled it. I just got it in my ears. They just told me my ears have been canceled.
You just said you're going.
And then I'll be here at the one in Los Angeles, of course, too, at the Wiltern. So tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., I believe, for that. But we'll know more when Kevin comes in tomorrow.
I have some audio from the movie here.
Clip. I know you don't.
I do.
I know you've been hit now like 10 times.
You've been hit like 10 times.
Doesn't Anderson like that? It's not a stretch at all. Oh, let this not be true. Everyone's talking, of course, about the Superman reboot. Superman the Man of Steel is the name of the movie. We find out that Henry Cavill is going to be the Man of Steel. Now the big question is, who's going to be Lois Lane? Who will be Lois to his Supes?
Do we call them Supes?
I do.
All right.
Yesterday, the rumor was Olivia Wilde, possibly.
Oh, yes. Lois Lane,
which I think is excellent casting, because she is a young, beautiful woman, but she also has the balls and sort of the gravitas to play a news reporter. She would be a believable Lois Lane, I think, unlike that Kate Bosworth in the last Superman film. It was just ridiculous. She's only a 13-year-old playing dress-up. It was insane. But now, today, the hot rumor is, oh, please let it not be so.
Who?
Kristen Stewart. From the Twilight series, apparently in talks with producers to play Lois Lane opposite Henry in the new Superman movie.
No!
Can you imagine what a bag full of dolls she'd be as Lois Lane?
That she needs to retire. She hates her career. We hate her career.
That's right. It's one thing we can all agree on. We all hate her.
Right. She's certainly not going to bring anything to that role, I'll tell you that.
No, she won't. She would have to be energetic and up and sort of ballsy and brash and big. You know, you can say whatever you want about Margot Kidder, who was in the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. She wasn't a beauty, but she captured that sort of sense. You got the sense she was a career woman. She was out looking for a story. She had that
right.
that
she
grit
sold that
to
part
her.
Of it. Yeah,
yeah. And you got to have that if you're going to be Lois Lane.
Kristen Stewart will show up. She's like, I can't believe I'm working in a newspaper office. It's so boring.
All right, I'm going to go.
Hey, Clark Kent, how was your weekend?
Superman, whatever, flying. Britney Spears has announced the title of her new album. She tweeted it yesterday, posted on her Facebook page.
This is so exciting.
The title of Britney Spears' new album is Femme Fatale. Femme Fatale. And America yawned. She said she spent the past 2 years working on this album. This is all of her heart and soul and sweat and tears. And I bet some other bodily fluids as well.
Hey, there was a time we would not have predicted Britney Spears would be back musically. Her career is hot right now, and her first single is a huge hit.
I know.
That Hold It Against Me song, very popular.
That's true. We were thinking at that time, wow, she's never going to be
she's
back.
She's gone, yeah.
Flamed out.
Yep.
But apparently she lives to fight another day. The CD is reportedly coming out on March the 15th. Britney didn't give an exact date, but apparently that's when it's going to be. So there you go. And more new music news. Now we know when Foo Fighters' CD is going to drop. Apparently, they put it on their website yesterday, and it's going to be April the 12th. So, for those of you looking for new Foo music, April the 12th will be the official release date of their new CD. So, we got that going for us, too.
Can't wait.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dave Davies of the Kinks. Legendary Davies Brothers, 64 years old today. Nathan Lane, star of stage and screen, is 55. Thomas Calabro.
Sorry, go ahead.
What's the matter?
No, go.
Thomas Calabro is 52. Maura Tierney is 46 years old today. Isla Fisher turns 35 years old. And rapper Sean Kingston celebrates his 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We were talking a few minutes ago about how Kevin Smith, actor, writer, director, friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, is going to be here live tomorrow. LaQuisha reviews tonight's Jersey Shore on the program today. Ralph has the movie beat. Andrew Siciliano checks in live from Dallas. By the way, this is turning into the Ice Bowl. I don't know if you saw any of the video out there in Texas yesterday.
But who could have predicted that Dallas would be like that now?
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah, so he'll be joining us for a preview of the big game. And Minka Mother Effin Kelly. Oh,
all right.
On the show tomorrow, talking about her new film, Not Single White Female. It's called The Roommate, and she'll be joining us tomorrow here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's talk about the Super Bowl, because there's a lot of people who bet on it. And a lot of people don't have money bet. So they go with embarrassing. And that's always funnier anyway. I don't remember. I think it was a playoff game between you and Ralph, Mike?
I think it might have been an NFC championship game. Either way, it was a playoff game between the Eagles and the Cowboys. And the bet was,
Mike was a Cowboys fan at that point.
And the bet was that if the Cowboys won, Ralph would have to dress in an Eagles cheerleader outfit and come to the studio and do some stuff. And if I lost, I had to dress like a gay cowboy and go serve drinks at Ralph's favorite Eagles bar.
At the bar where it's all Eagles fans, right.
By the way, you dress like a gay cowboy. How is that embarrassing for you?
Yeah, good point.
It's fairly normal, right?
Yeah,
it's just
another
Sunday. So,
I mean, you got chaps on anyway.
So he shows up at Ralph's bar and he brings a cake that's shaped like, a unit and... All hell breaks loose, and it's not fun for Ralph. That's what we heard. It just didn't go well.
But it is fascinating the things that people will bet when it's not money. I mean, Look, we've heard stories year after year about people get tattoos. You know, that's how sure they are that their team's going to win is I'll get your team's tattoo on me if they lose. And yeah. Sure enough, it happens. You know, I mean, sometimes you – and here's the thing about wagering. This is one of the reasons why Las Vegas stands today is because you bet with your heart. You bet emotionally. You bet because of what you want to have happen. It doesn't always work out that way. And sometimes money is the best thing to lose compared to what you might have to do instead.
Yeah, well, there was a – I think it was a couple of years back we talked to a couple. And then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 of embarrassing bets that you lost over the Super Bowl. It has to be
things you had to do when you lost that you really, really, really didn't want to but had to because that was the bet.
Now, speaking of that, we did talk to a couple and his team was in the Super Bowl and her team was in the Super Bowl. Uh-oh. So they made a bet. Let's say that.
Yes.
You remember? Let's say that she's a house and she has a front door and a rear door, just like all houses and a few windows. But she told him that if, you know, her team lost, he could enter through the back door, which I thought was really nice of her.
Previously not been used in that house.
Correct.
Yeah.
That back door had been closed
and locked.
And apparently she was going to have to unlock it, and then that happened, and she lost, and then that happened. So that's good, right?
Is
that how you good, want for, good for him, good for his team.
Is that how you want it to be on your first time? I'm guessing not. But
it is true that you need to plan ahead if you're going to make a non-cash wager and think about what it's going to be like to pay off. Think about what the reality is if your team does lose, because it is possible.
Yeah, and it's creativity. And it's also you have to figure out, like, am I willing to do this? Yes, okay. Is he willing to do that? Is it equally embarrassing for both sides? Those bets are kind of hard to make, but they get made all the time because embarrassing is a lot of times more fun than money.
Much more satisfying, right. Absolutely.
So if you've made bets on the Super Bowl, 1-800-520-1067. Some of your friends are rooting for the other team. However it works out, you make a bet, you have to do something embarrassing. We're looking for those stories. And we'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean.
Coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our Thursday weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky. He just got over the flesh-eating bacteria, don't you know, and has survived it and is able to be here to tell us all about it.
Bird flu. I believe.
Or the hantavirus or whatever it was he had. So anyway.
I think it was bird flu.
Doctor's going to be on.
We know.
Right now, though, fascinating calls. Let's start with Fred on line three. We're talking about Super Bowl bets that you lost. Or I guess the flip side of that could be that you won and your friend or partner had to do something embarrassing. Non-money-related Super Bowl bets can sometimes be the most satisfying. 1-800-520-1067. Fred joins us. Fred, you are an Indianapolis Colts fan. What played out for you, my friend?
Well, last year, obviously, Colts played the Saints and started off. I am not much of a USC fan, hate Reggie Bush, so I bet my friend that Colts win Super Bowl if I won, he tattoos the Colts insignia on his back, huge.
He'd have to what? Say that again? Oh, the Colts sign?
Colts logo on his back.
Okay.
And if I lost, I had a name. At that time, my wife was pregnant with our first son to see, and I had a name in Reggie. We'll play it out, and now my son is Reggie.
Okay, now I have many questions about this, Fred. First of all, how did that go over with your wife, where you were taking the ability to name your son out of your hands?
Not very well. I would say she didn't speak to me for the remainder of the pregnancy in about the first 6 months.
Have you grown to now like the name Reggie because now you associate it with your boy rather than with Reggie Bush?
Right.
Oh, thank God. And second of all, how stupid is your friend to almost have to get a Colts tattoo put on his back as a Saints fan? I mean, that's a serious bet.
Right. Well, I think we're both pretty stupid.
How did you get married? Let's go back to that.
How did you meet a woman?
All right. Thank you, Fred.
Unbelievable. Thank you very much. By the way, those are the people that are procreating right there. All right. Let's try Brandon. Brandon is on line four, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about non-monetary Super Bowl bets. Hi, Brandon. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Which two teams were you betting on?
So this was about 5 years ago. I'm a Seahawks fan. My brother's a Steelers fan. And the bet was that you had to paint your house the other team's color if you lost.
Okay.
And we're talking like full blown with the decal on the garage door, the whole yards.
Right.
That's serious.
Now,
do you live in Seattle and he lives in Pittsburgh, or do you live in different cities?
Actually, I live live in the Dallas area.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So that's
getting a lot of honks all throughout this time right now.
Wait a minute. Your house is still painted that color?
Well, there's actually a good reason behind that. My brother, when his lease is up on his house, I'm going to sell him my house. So I'm going to sell this house to my brother when his lease is up.
So for the last 5 or 6 years, however long it's been, your house has been painted black and yellow with a big Steelers logo, even though you're a diehard Seahawks fan.
Unfortunately, yes.
That's hilarious.
Because I was thinking immediately, my first thought was, what's the time limit? Because I would paint it that, and then whatever the time limit was, if he was dumb enough not to give me a time limit, I'd just paint it back.
Right, exactly.
Well, it was around March.
No, but I'm saying you kept it for now all going on 6 years in the hopes that your brother's going to buy it in a couple more.
Yes.
But you understand that he could then just paint it a different color. So you're the loser.
I'm a good sport, but okay. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah, I'm
all right.
That's okay. A perfect example of the type of bet that we're talking about, though. I mean, really, you're really, really hoping your team doesn't lose that one. All right, let's try Chris, line 5 on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for calling. Thanks for hanging on. What's going on, dude?
Hi. I bet on the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl
okay.
a couple years ago. I bet a threesome, 2 girls for me if I won. I was betting on the Patriots, and 2 guys if she won. And they lost, but she forgot who she bet on. So
what?
I lied and said that I bet on the Giants.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome. Well, if she forgot who she bet on, she must not have been a big fan. She must have just won it. You just talked her into betting?
Pretty much.
Because if you're a big fan, you don't forget who you bet on.
And then we weren't around each other for the game, so at the end of the game, she said, ha-ha. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, what? And I won, and she completely forgot about
nice.
It.
Nice.
Oh, that's the best possible outcome right
wow.
there.
Wow. You're
fantastic.
Brilliant.
Thanks for the call, dude.
Thank you for the call. How about that?
That's awesome.
That guy wins.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, I don't know. He's only on Celebrity Rehab, 16 and Pregnant, Teen Mom, Sober House, Sex Rehab with Dr. Drew, and a new headline news show debuting soon. We're talking about Dr. Drew Pinsky, who joins us Thursdays on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doc, how are you feeling, man?
I'm better.
Now, was it bird flu? Was it the HIV? What did you have?
Yeah, it was flu and pneumonia, and it was. I thought for sure it was leptospirosis because I'd been exposed in an outbreak, but turned out to be just something hideous.
Well, we're so glad you're back. Hey, by the way, Dr. Drew, I was thinking about this the other day. Don't ask me why. Is there a possibility? Now, go with me here on this. Is there a possibility that one day you will be the Surgeon General of the United States?
God, it's always scary when Bean starts out a statement with
just go with me.
Oh, God. People have actually discussed that with me a little bit.
Yeah.
However, I think that's a pretty thankless. First of all, I have to be in the military. And secondly, it's a thankless job. I wouldn't be interested in it, even though people have sort of brought that up before.
And I guess it would be a tremendous pay cut for a guy like you. No joke. I mean, that's one reason why some rich guys don't want to run for president is they don't want to live on that tiny income comparatively, right?
3 kids going to college. Yeah. But okay. Say that as it may, I mean, I would love to serve the country. I'm really interested in that. I'm very interested in that. It just seems like a job that just doesn't accomplish a lot. I don't know.
But wouldn't there be some residual good things happening to us because we know you?
That'll happen anyway.
You have to think about that.
Yeah, we could get tickets to the inauguration and things like that if we do. All right, let's move on to the news of the day. Your friend Charlie Sheen has had a hell of a bender the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Dr. Drew, tell me about the possibility of successful rehab treatment at home.
You know, I was watching this Entertainment Magazine show yesterday and like Extra, and they were interviewing a doctor that he called in his crisis. And I thought, boy, this is the worst of the worst of medical care. This, you know, special relationships with doctors. This is how addicts manipulate. This is how Michael Jackson ended up dead. You have to just submit to the standard of care and capitulate to the treatment of the standard person, or you don't get better. In the big book for Alcoholics Anonymous, there's a famous statement. It says, half measures availed us nothing, which means if you try to go in halfway or take a... you know, a special kind of approach, it ends up bad all the time.
So we heard that he had checked into rehab one day, and then the next day we heard, no, not checked in, he's going to do it at home.
Yeah, and that's I'm going to do nothing is what that is. I'm going to get detoxed, and I'm going to get myself feeling better physically, and you could do that at home, but you cannot treat the disease of addiction. It's a group treatment. You require groups to treat the disease.
Why?
Why do you require groups?
Yeah.
For several reasons. One is, first of all, the addict themselves needs to see all the different manifestations of the disease in other people. Secondly, it takes a powerful front to confront the denial and the disease process. I mean, I don't even go in a room alone with a patient myself ever. I always bring at least another person in, because one-on-one, you'll get sucked into the disease. I always tell people, I think I've said on this show before, that the disease of addiction is like the plant in the Little Shop of Horrors. if you go into the room, you're going into the plant. The plant's getting you. But if you have a golden cord, or if you have somebody else there with you and other people, you can stand firm.
Interesting.
Now, is it harder for a guy like Charlie Sheen, though, to accept the group? Because the group, I mean, in his regular life, he's a standout. He's a superstar. Well, he's a TV star. Is it hard for him to go in and go, I'm going to just go into a group of random people and
of course
be one of them?
Yes, of course it is. And of course they have special needs and challenges. But I would just point at Tiger Woods. I mean, he went into a group and had treatment for sex addiction and was honest for a while, at least, with a group of men that, he opened up to it. He talked about it in some of those statements he made, how powerful that was for him. Then he kind of abandoned it all. But the fact is, even Tiger Woods went in and was honest. And you know, I deal with celebrities a lot, and they all have to get over this. There are lots of celebrities in the program. And there, by the way, there are celebrity programs, there are celebrity meetings just for people that have sort of public lives.
Oh, is that right?
Lots of those. Oh, yeah.
Because I would be afraid, if I'm Charlie Sheen and I'm telling my deep, dark secrets, I'd be afraid of everyone in the room.
Of course. And
calling the press.
It's a realistic fear, but there are groups that he could attend and organizations that are very careful about that kind of thing. I mean, he knows that because he was very involved in the program in the early 90s, back in the early part of the 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s. He was deeply committed to the program and then blew it off. And there are a lot of guys like that out there, and they are very difficult to treat. They're tough.
I bet. We're talking to Dr. Drew Pinsky on the Kevin and Bean Show, as we do each Thursday. Right now, talking about Charlie Sheen. Now, let me ask you this, Dr. Drew, because I know we've covered this up till this point, but Charlie was the functional alcoholic, the functional drug abuser that we've talked about before, who manages to get his party on and still show up for work and make his mark and read his lines the next day. How have you ever seen anyone, based on the media reports of how much drugs he was using, have you ever seen anyone who's able to keep that load on and still function and not have any apparent adverse effects in his life?
Absolutely. I see that all the time. It will come to bear. Trust me. It will happen. There will be horrible things ahead. But listen, I deal with this. You know, the group that I deal with this more than any other is physicians, because doctors are so, male physicians particularly, their sense of self is so tied up in their job that the job is affected absolutely last. And once the job is affected, you know you're in really serious trouble. So it's, you know, for men, oftentimes the job, and particularly a job like he does, I mean, he can function, you know, I'm not to disparage what they do, but he's not doing brain surgery.
Well, and, that's true.
And it's the last thing to go. The job is the last thing to go very often for men.
And I should add a PS to my question, which is, I say that he hasn't been affected, but let's face it, he did lose another marriage. You know, I mean, that was probably I would imagine that had something to do with his use.
Of course, and he's having horrible effects on his kid, horrible effects on his health. Horrible effects on his self-esteem. I mean, there's all kinds of consequences he's having.
Hey, he was trying to take care of his kids. He asked that porn star to watch him.
Right? I mean, think about that. He's going to look back at that stuff and go, oh, my God.
Come on now.
All right. In our final minutes, Dr. Drew, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since last week, the day after the final Celebrity Rehab, the reunion show, aired on VH1. And then bad news for your boy, Jason Davis. He ended up getting in trouble almost immediately after the live appearance last Wednesday night. What happened? What's going on with him?
I can't really discuss his case right now, but I can tell you this, that I it's so funny to me how people react to those kinds of things. I'm always relieved, and I get kind of... I'm sad somebody has to go through that. I'm sorry for that, but it's an opportunity. To me, it's always an opportunity when somebody has legal consequences, because that's when I know you have some leverage and you can really get somebody into treatment more thoroughly.
But there's not any, hey, he just finished doing all this work and threw it away overnight?
No, you didn't watch the rehab. You didn't watch the reunion, because he was quite clear that he was really struggling in that show.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And we told him, you know, we're here, we'll work with you, and I think this is a real opportunity for Jason, and it's playing out that way.
So if someone does backslide, you would prefer that they go ahead and get in trouble, make it public, get arrested, because that's when you're more likely to get help.
I don't know about public, but when the courts mandate treatment, Bob Forrest got, I said that, this is what I said to Jason, I believe I said it to him during the reunion, is Bob Forrest got sober in prison. It's because of consequences that, you know, we've got a live Bob Forrest and many, many other patients. When the consequences come to bear sufficiently, then they find the motivation. Lindsay Lohan, right? She was forced by the court.
That's right.
I mean, you'll
see
that a lot. And once they have enough time in the program, they start waking up and going, oh, my God, what's the matter with me? I got to get with this.
Okay. Final question, Dr. Drew. Five nights a week, you're side-by-side with Psycho Mike doing the very popular Loveline show. He has an insatiable appetite for medical oddities on the internet. How do you stand it?
Well, mostly he saves those up for Nick Schwartzen.
Yeah, he wanted to talk about that one today, and I was like, you know what? We're out in the morning. People are eating. Let's not discuss it in great detail. But shockingly bad, right?
Well, Mike, step up to the mic here. We were talking. We actually discussed this last night. How you guys would react to this?
Yeah, there's no as bad as Nick Schwartzen reacted, and believe me, you should check this video out. If you just go to YouTube, Nick Schwartzen Loveline. Kevin and Bean would just have to end their own life. There's no possibility. There's no possibility they could see that shankroid and live.
Here's the problem. Thank you, Mike. Here's the problem, Dr. Drew, is that Mike. We've learned about Mike. So when he says you have to watch this.
Be careful.
We don't.
We're not going to watch anything with red or pancake in the title. We're just not.
We're not doing anything with chocolate. We're not doing anything that you. And the more he wants us to watch it, the less we want to watch it. We've learned our lesson.
All right, Drew. Have a great week, my friend. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys.
We're glad you're feeling better.
Thanks.
Bye now.
It's going to be one of the biggest and best concerts of 2011. We're talking about the Big Four in the desert in April. We're talking about. Let me see. I don't have it in front of me. It's the Megadeth.
Yes.
And it's Anthrax.
Yep.
And it's Metallica.
Yep.
And it's Slayer.
Yeah.
Slayer. Those are the four. That's the Big Four, in fact.
And Striper. They just had a Striper.
They did. No, Striper's on the bill.
That didn't happen.
If you are a fan, if you're a metalhead, you've been loving those bands a long time, and you think you know a nugget of trivia about one of those groups that you believe you can stump the legendary Jed the Fish with, you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067, because Jed and Fishem, he's been around a long time. He hosts that nationally syndicated Out of Order show, don't you know? He knows his metal, all right? He's a real metalhead.
He has been around for a while and is unstoppable. So
he's unstoppable. So if you have a trivia question about one of the bands playing the Big Four, you can call right now and try to stump Jed at 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. If you can, you go into the drawing to win tickets to be at the Big Four in person. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. Now Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, sad news.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, I get this from an inside source, NBC has canceled The Cape. I won't get to see The Cape anymore.
And The Cape was on the air?
Dude, The Cape!
No!
Cape was about that cop from Palm City who got set up to look like he was actually Chess, but he wasn't. But then when they blew up that train car, it looked like he was dead. But he escaped and then got trained by Max Mellini in the Circus of Crime.
None of this happened.
Crime-fighting superhero.
There's
the
no
Cape.
Circus of Crime.
Oh, the Carnival of Crime. Awesome. They taught him how to use the Cape. Cape has so many powers. You can do so many things you can do with the Cape.
I don't know what's happening either, but not anymore.
I love the Cape.
Not so much.
Now the Cape is gone.
I don't know these references.
I'm going to miss the Cape.
I don't know who any of those people are.
As silly as it seems... Apparently, Michael Jackson's mom can sue concert promoter AEG for the death of her son, Michael Jackson.
Well, I guess you can sue for anything, right?
The Los Angeles Times says a judge denied AEG's motion to dismiss the lawsuit. Catherine Jackson's suit is blaming the entertainment company for the medical decisions that led to Michael's death.
Well, they're not the ones that hired Dr. Killer, are they? I mean, wasn't that Michael Jackson's personal physician?
I don't know all the details. I don't know where Hal Conrad Murray got involved in the mix, but she apparently
thinks
they're partially responsible for not taking care of him.
Seems dumb to me.
Does to me, too, but a judge says game on. So she's got to present some evidence, and then we'll go on to see whether her charges of fraud, negligent infliction of emotional distress, and civil conspiracy will remain true or not.
Civil conspiracy?
Yeah.
Dumb. Next.
Guitarist John Farro quit Paramore in December, but he's already got a new band. Josh. Josh Farro said that
The new band's called Novel American.
Novel American.
Novel American. And will include three guys he went to high school with. So it's got to be good.
Is Haley the lead singer?
He's playing
it?
With guys he played with in high school.
Is that happening?
I might get Revolver back together again if this actually takes off. I played with those guys in high school.
You should.
The group's working on an EP right now. We'll do some live shows soon. But no, Kevin, to answer your question, Haley will not be the lead singer for Novel American.
I think I'm going to stick with her.
You're such a coward. All right, MTV may be in trouble with Skins, but they're going to make it all up to us now. Because they have announced on June 5th, they are rolling out the premiere episode of Teen Wolf.
What?
Yes, Teen Wolf the series.
What, Dale?
Teen Wolf.
How many Kardashians are going to be in it?
TV series based on the popular film from 1985 starring Michael J. Fox.
I don't remember that
at all.
And
let's not forget Teen Wolf 2.
You don't remember Teen Wolf? One of the greatest movies ever.
I remember it existed, and I remember a picture of his face covered with hair, but that's all I remember.
And he played awesome basketball because he was a wolf. And you know, wolves are the best basketball players in all of the Wild Kingdom.
They do rock the court.
They do.
Proper.
And he was so popular in high school, too, even though he was a werewolf.
He got more popular when he became a wolf.
And made him popular.
That's right. The girl's like, yeah, hey there, wolfie. Yeah, can I check you for ticks?
How did that ever happen once, let alone twice, let alone now?
Well, the sequel starred Jason Bateman.
All right.
As Teen Wolf 2.
It wasn't as good, but it was still entertaining.
Michael J. Fox Light, as he was known back then.
Teen Wolf was awesome, Kevin. You would love it so much.
But wait, that's happening again?
The series is now coming to MTV. It's going to air June 5th, immediately following the MTV Movie Awards.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Stars Tyler Posey, who, in this version, will play a high school lacrosse player. Not a basketball player. He's going to be really good at lacrosse when he's a wolf.
Now, what? That's a weird choice to make, because basketball is so much more popular than lacrosse.
Oh, basketball's so 80s. Okay. Bean, why don't you wake up and join our century?
Sorry.
Lacrosse is the white-hot sport in all the high schools now.
Aren't you already... Don't you already have two strikes when you're going into this project, Teen Wolf?
How can you knock
now
the
you're gonna
wolf?
Make him...
Do not knock the wolf.
Now you're going to pick a sport
if there's not a Ralph's Video Vault on Teen Wolf next week, I'm going to write a strongly worded letter.
Oh, do I love the wolf.
It's such a great movie.
Oh, man.
Then he scores a basket even though he's not a wolf anymore.
We're here with Tracy Jordan, who just recounted, by the way, the entire plot of the movie Teen Wolf.
See, everyone's talking about it, Kevin.
That's audio that's being set aside.
Well, you never know when Teen Wolf is going to become a hot thing again.
When did you get that clip?
I don't know. It's been a couple of years.
It's unbelievable.
I like to stay current.
It's not current. That's old.
Don't you remember the scene where he's a wolf and he's all ashamed because his dad's knocking on the door and it's like a euphemism for, you know, spanking it? His dad knocks on the door, come on, let me in, we need to talk. No, dad, you can't come in. And he comes in and he's a wolf.
I don't think I saw.
And then he turns around and his dad's a wolf.
No!
Jeez, boom!
It's been passed down from generation to generation. He's like, son, I know what you're going through. We need to talk. And his dad's a wolf!
That's so stupid.
Oh, it's the best.
So good.
That's so stupid.
The series can just be half of what the movie was.
Before he discovers he's got wolf blood in him, Kevin, there's a kid playing with a dog whistle in the hardware store.
Ah!
He's like, why is it in my ears? I'm a human, not a dog.
Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf. As Dave would say, Teen Wolf.
Not interested.
Oh, you are missing out, Kevin, on so many things.
All right.
Not the least of which is the magic of the wolf.
He's got time for every single freaking Kevin James movie. Yeah. Can't get him to look at Teen Wolf.
Can't rock the wolf. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Isla Fisher is 35 years old today. Maura Tierney, very talented, lovely actress, is 46. Thomas Calabro.
Yeah! There it is!
Dr. Michael Mancini from Melrose Place. And the reboot is 52 years old. Nathan Lane celebrates his 55th birthday. Actress Morgan Fairchild. Remember Morgan Fairchild?
I remember she existed.
She was famous, and I'm not quite sure what for.
She was on one of those soapy shows like Dynasty or something like that. Falcon Crest. There you go. Yeah.
And more famous now for the
Old Navy commercials that still air.
She was always hot. That's all I remember about Morgan.
Hmm.
And Dave Davies of the legendary Davies Brothers, who brought you the Kinks. Is 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You all right? You with us? You hearing things now?
I'm good.
You good?
All right.
Headphones just broke. No problem. All good.
We didn't know if it would ever come to the United States after a successful run of concerts in Europe, which, by the way, are out on DVD and Blu-ray. The Big Four is coming to Southern California, Indio, April 23rd. We're talking about Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax. Tickets are on sale now, or you can win them right now on The Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. If you can, stump Jed.
Stump Jed the Fish. Can you stump? Can you stump? Can you stump?
Hello?
Can you stump Jed the Fish?
What if your name was Ass Whore?
Oh, no.
Stump Jed the Fish. Stump Jed the Fish. Stump Jed the Fish.
What if your name was Ass Whore?
Now, Jed, we've known you for many, many years. You've been a very popular radio personality nationwide for a long time now, but I never thought of you as a metalhead. Is this really a genre you're familiar with enough to take questions from the audience?
Sometimes my boogers can cut the inside of my nose when they get firm.
Okay, but I was asking, do you know a lot about Metallica and Slayer?
I love metal.
You love metal?
You do. Huh. Okay.
All right. And you know,
Alloys.
We've been told that you're unstumpable, that you can answer any question about any of these bands, any of the four.
It'll be difficult because I have a vast and overwhelming knowledge of all the bands.
Perfect.
Playing
all
on the bill.
All right.
Well, this is great because we want to get some real fans. You're right. We want to get some real fans out. So if they're able to stump you, Lisa May, you'll keep track for us, dear, and we'll put them in a drawing and see who gets to go. All right, we'll take them in order and start with Rich on line one then to get us going.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your trivia question?
My trivia question is Slayer's guitar player, Kerry King, breeds a certain type of animal for a hobby. Which is it?
Which animal?
I believe it's the animal in the kingdom with the largest eyes, which would be squid.
Is it squid, Rich?
No, it is snakes.
Snakes.
Snakes. He's lying.
Well, I think Rich is right about that, actually. I think he's right. Snakes. All right, you were able to stump Jed. Congratulations, you're in the drawing.
Some people say squid's eyes can get as big as satellite dishes. The ones from the 80s, not the new ones that are only as big as perhaps a suitcase.
The answer was snakes. We weren't talking squids.
Snakes.
We've moved on from squids.
All right. Shane. Hey, Shane.
I've got a snake for you, Lisa.
All right.
Oh, God.
What's your trivia question, Shane?
Yeah. Who is the original bass player for Metallica?
Bert and Ernie. They were named after the cab driver and the cop in It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, that may be true, but that doesn't have anything to do with Metallica. Come on, Jed, you have to know the answer to this.
Shane, is it Bert and Ernie?
No, it's Cliff Burton.
Charles de Gaulle?
Oh, close, Burton.
Is it Charles de Gaulle?
No, he just told you.
Okay, it's Cliff Burton.
His final words were, it hurts.
Every Metallica fan knows that, Jed. I don't know what's up with you. All right, let's try Lewis. Lewis, line three, trying to stump Jed the Fish for Big Four tickets.
Lewis.
All right, Lewis.
Lewis.
Morning. How you doing?
Good. What's your question?
All right. Dave Mustaine was also a part of which band that's playing on the lineup?
All right.
In addition to Megadeth, of course.
Yeah, in addition to Megadeth, of course.
Jed?
Bingo. Come on, Jed.
Bingo.
Hmm? Your answer
is bingo? The
name
of the dog in the Cracker Jack box, which many believe is where he also got the name for the popular game that you play at church functions and other charity drives. Legal in California, even though it's somehow gambling.
Okay. Is that the answer?
No, he was in Metallica.
Metallica. Yeah.
Of course he was.
Okay,
come on.
You hold
Jed.
On. Jed, you're not doing very well for having encyclopedic knowledge of these four bands.
Who wrote the theme song to Mad About You, you ask?
No.
Paul Reiser himself.
No one asked that.
He also performs it.
Okay, we're talking about the Big Four cuts. We're talking about Megadeth, and Metallica, Slayer, and Anthrax, April 23rd. Donovan has a question. He's going to try to stump you. Go ahead, Donovan.
Yeah, hey, Jed, I got an easy one for you, buddy. Hey, what was the name of Megadeth's first album?
Okay, that's simple. Jed?
Booger Sugar.
Is it Booger Sugar?
No, that's close, but
Hold on. Was it
Hold on, he has another guess.
Gypsy Jenkum.
No, almost. No, not quite there. It's Killing Is My Business and Business Is Good.
Pooping is Jed's business and business is good.
Okay, all right. We don't
too much fiber con for the Jedster.
Good.
All right. Let's take one more. Who do you like of the remaining questions there, Kevin? Something that Jed might have a chance of actually getting right.
Well, hasn't he had the chance of getting all of them right?
Yes, he has, when you put it that way.
What company was... I don't know which question. I guess Greg? No. Doesn't matter. He's not going to get it.
Deborah Winger was the voice of E.T.
Okay, let's on that note, let's just leave it there. So far, Rich,
Shane, Lewis, and Donovan all in the drawing. Who's going to Big Four in Indio on the 23rd of April?
The winner's Rich.
Rich, the first person we talked to.
Yeah.
Rich, Alexander the Great was epileptic.
All right. Rich, congratulations. You got a four-pack to see the Big Four. Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax, Saturday, April 23rd. Thanks for playing the game.
168 ridges on the outside of a dime.
Jed, you were off your game a little today.
Hey, did I mention that Minka Kelly is going to be on the program tomorrow? Did I happen to bring that up from the roommate?
Not enough, though.
Also, Andrew Siciliano checks in live from Texas. He's there covering the Super Bowl, don't you know? Kevin Smith will be here, the Movie Beat, and LaQuisha reviews tonight's Jersey Shore. If you've listened to the Kevin Bean Show for any time at all, and you've always thought, hey, I'm in school and I'm interested in broadcasting, or I love that show, I'd like to be a part of it and see how radio works. We do have an internship program. You can get the details at kevinbean.com. We are always on the prowl for new interns. We hire about two or three times a year. And we're in that mode right now. And producer Alex, I've rarely seen her as mad as she was yesterday.
Good morning.
Because she's the one who has to wrangle the interns and assign them jobs and kind of, you know, maintain them and work with them. And for some reason, Alex, Kevin is involved in the hiring process, and that's throwing everything
that's
out of whack. What's happening?
Be.
All right, here's what happened. So the executioner is now in charge of our intern program on the morning show.
Right.
So Dave has the task of allegedly reviewing resumes and applications, which he clearly did not do.
This time.
He didn't read any of the cover letters, nothing. Just set them up.
Well, I scanned through them.
Now, hold on a sec. So what all you're saying so far is that Dave gets applications. He doesn't review them. He just sets them all up for interviews. That doesn't sound so bad because if the people are lame, you just don't hire them,
It can be a huge waste of time for everyone involved.
Or it can bring us gold.
And so Kevin sits in on the interview because Kevin was furious when I was hiring the interns that I was trying to hire, I don't know, capable people who are interested in media and communications. And Kevin found that very boring.
Well, you got to go with comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, haven't we had some of the best interns? Don't we have stories for days about how great our interns are? And they're all my hires, those interns.
On the air, yes. Off the air, I want to murder them all, and they're totally useless and make our jobs more difficult.
Yeah, I can see
that. But you are right, Kevin. I'll never forget Shaolin Robot, for instance. But any intern that comes in and shows up and does his or her work and goes about his or her business and, you know, stays under the radar, you don't ever think. I mean, maybe
Kevin,
they help in the office, but they
Kevin
don't get us.
Kevin doesn't understand that they could be helpful to me. In the office, and so, you know, the things behind the scenes. So Kevin and I got into an argument a few years ago. So finally I said, all right, you're allowed, quote unquote, Kevin's intern. Kevin's allowed to pick one person to come in one day a week who is the Kevin and Bean mascot class clown, if you will.
And they've limited it to one day a week, and that's not right because I should be able to make that decision, right? Bean, you're with me. My name's on the show.
Well, I know, but you have such a horrible track record of hiring competent people,
though. I have hired all of the interesting ones. So any that you remember have been my hire.
Yeah, that help you out. That
correct.
Don't help me out.
Don't care.
What happened?
Wonder?
Creepy one of the guy who wouldn't take his sunglasses off. Yeah.
Sure.
The first time I thought Psycho Mike was actually going to punch someone in the face.
He was mine.
Yeah.
What happened yesterday? Who was the candidate that has made you so angry, Alex?
Well, we had a gentleman come in. Dave handed me his paperwork. And immediately he walks in and he's clearly not ready for an interview. He's got on like a sloppy t-shirt and jeans.
He had a Tiesto shirt on.
His keys are hanging out of his pocket. He's got sunglasses like on the back of his head. He looks like he's, you know, hanging out at Huntington Beach on a Saturday.
I will say this.
Not ready to come in for an interview.
I will say this. He had no idea where he was or what he was doing. And I think he may have been really high.
Yes. I couldn't figure out if he was coming off a high or if he had just, you know, spoke something in the parking lot. But he came in and I'm looking over the paperwork. I put in air quotes as Dave handed me. And I'm looking at it and I realized the subject line of the email is, I want a party with Kevin and Bean. And he had just sent pictures of him and hot chicks.
No. It's him with these two hot chicks. He's wearing a shirt called I Smile Because I Have No Idea What's Going On. And then this one is him smoking a hookah pipe.
Oh, I remember.
Holding up Skittles.
Yeah. So that was his application to be on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Cool. Now, that's good, right?
It also, the first paragraph that he wrote talks about getting blacked out on Four Loko. So, all right, good.
That warrants an interview, right?
So then he says, I love to dance. I'm like Jay-Z when it comes to girls. And I'm currently working full time. So our first question is, can you get credit for this, which is a requirement?
Mm-hmm. Yes, part
of. Our company will not allow you to intern unless you can get college credit.
Right. Correct.
So he says, and this is when I knew he was hired. He says, I'm thinking about taking one course at a community college near here. Thinking about it. So then I was like, okay. Is that course in communications? Or he said swimming. So the dude is thinking about taking a swimming course so that he can stay in shape because his business is providing, I guess, private lifeguards for private parties or something.
Whatever. He is selling drugs. That is his entrepreneurial skill.
How dare you suggest that he not be who he says he is?
And then he followed that up with, yeah, I'm just not into school right now. I'm in a phase of, why not?
He is Kevin's people,
so
though,
automatically, like, now I'm interested. This guy, A, doesn't know where he is. B, we said, what days are good for you? And he says, well, you know, what time of the day? Is it mornings?
He said, mornings are good for me. I don't know about you. So, we were like, we're a morning show.
I'm in there, right? Now I know he's my kind of people. And then I ask him about being the Jay-Z of women. And he says, yeah, I get him all the time. I'm like, he's with Beyonce. And he goes, yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. All right, so good.
Didn't he say something like, you guys are going to have to tell me what this is about? I really have no idea why I'm here.
I'm not sure what this is or... Right. He said, I'm in a why not state of mind right now. Come on, Bean, that guy is instantly hired, right?
It was so hard for me not to laugh during this interview because I didn't want to insult him, but I couldn't believe I was having this conversation.
I don't know that I want to hang out with somebody who seems to have so little going on.
Are you kidding?
Oh, come
on. He's got going on. I mean, he's the opposite of has stuff going on.
Bean, you don't understand. He's wearing a Tiesto shirt, and he bought his best friend a Daft Punk shirt so they could go out and party in Hollywood. And they haven't yet.
They haven't done that yet.
That does qualify him for
that
was
the show. His first story. So then we were like, all right, good. That's
good. Do you think Dave is on board? He's on your side because every time you can hire somebody like that, it makes him look good? That's what's happening here?
Dave's trying to impress the wrong people here.
Yeah, so we bring in this guy, and Dave's happy because now Dave looks like he's competent. That's what you think?
Exactly. Probably. All right, listen.
Probably.
I don't know. When does this clown start?
He's hired.
I don't know. Ask Kevin. He's Kevin's intern. He's not mine.
Two weeks.
Yeah. Says Dave, who doesn't know.
And if you would like to be an intern on the Kevin and Bean Show and you've got more going on than that guy.
All the places are taken, man.
You can go to kevinandbean.com. Maybe for next semester. Then. Nice job, Kevin. Oh, this is a disaster. How is Spencer Pratt back in the studio? I thought we said goodbye to him in 2010. What's up?
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain. Some people say jerk. I mean,
tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
Okay, you're done. You're over. Whoa. Please stop doing jumping jacks. Please stop that, Spencer.
I'm just giving a little shout out to my boy Jack Belaine because I gave him his first job. I know he recently passed away. And, you know, just trying to stay fit, you know?
Why do you say all that stuff? None of that's true. Any of that stuff's true.
He was 75 when you were born.
Oh,
how can you say you gave him his first job?
That's funny, Bobby. All right, Chief. Thanks.
It's Kevin, and it's Bean, and that's Lisa. Listen, Spencer.
Hey, Pat Tatouille. How are you?
Here's the thing.
Slim Fast working out.
Good.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks, honey.
Oh, my God.
Spencer, when the Hills went off the air last year, we thought, that's it. We don't have to hear about you anymore. We don't have to hear about your stupid wife anymore. We don't have to hear about Audrina anymore. You guys are gone.
My beautiful wife is taking over the adult film world. What?
Huh? Your beautiful wife is doing nothing.
You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing about nothing, kid, and that's what's sad about you. Take that to the bank. I've been in Belize meditating in front of waterfalls, totally off the grid, that's right. Drenched in crystals, getting my mind straight. And I realized like in 1974 when I invented the recipe for the Fig Newton.
You weren't even alive in 74.
Down for me then, Bobby. What do you know?
To do.
Hey, K-Muscle, go ahead. Go ahead, Chief. You tell me what life's about.
I will tell you that you didn't have anything to do with the Fig Newton.
What?
I'll tell you that.
Right. That's
so
funny.
You're back in the news because you did a rap song, and it's called Ain't No Thing But a Chicken Wing.
Correct.
It was horrible.
And it was terrible.
It was genius. And Jay-Z's jealous.
The president of KFC apparently wrote you a letter.
Not news to me. Yes, go.
Saying we heard the song come out before it was fully cooked, and that you were just winging it, and it was a first cut, and they would like to help you finish it and actually be a jingle for them.
Of course.
So that you would be a spokesperson for KFC.
Did you bring me all the way here from my flat in Malibu to tell me this? It's not news. I got so many projects out there, I can't even really think about it. I got lunch with T. Boone Pickens in 10 minutes.
No, you don't at all. He's the guy with the wind farms? Is that the guy?
Hello?
Yes.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yes, uh-huh. That's right.
You're not on the phone. You're holding your fingers up here.
Reservation for three. I need to make a table for myself, Spencer Rat-a-tat-tat, T. Boone Pickens, and Cliff Huxtable. Thanks. I'll see you then.
You're not on the phone.
Cliff Huxtable. Is a fake person. Listen, Spencer.
I invented the bonsai tree, correct?
No, you didn't. But here's the thing. You would never do commercials. Even if you needed the money, I can't imagine you could legitimately do commercials for Kentucky Fried Chicken because you don't eat there. It's a great product that you're missing out on, but that's not the type of food you eat.
What?
Because you only go to super fancy, expensive restaurants, or so you tell us.
But every once in a while, to keep my nitrogen balance up when I'm going from, say, Valentino to across the way to Nobu, I'll stop in and get some freshly baked chicken from KFC because it's delicious.
Are you just saying that because you might possibly have a job and you're completely broke?
What?
You're completely broke.
I invented the Pisces.
What?
What are you talking about? How do you know?
Check right, my fingernails, kid. That's right, Manny Petty just got it. What do you think? Huh?
Tell us about some of these commercial jingles that you're working on.
I'm amazing. I'm like the greatest jingle maker in the world. I'm the Jay-Z of jingles. I'm amazing. I'm the Bruce Springsteen of jingles. Bruce Springsteen's a buddy of mine, by the way.
He's not a
buddy. No, he's not. You've never met him.
Anything that matters to me, I can make a jingle. Listen. Hit it, Kevin. Fat. Most women in the world are way too fat. And so listen to your buddy named Spencer Pratt and join Jenny Craig.
By the way, that actually might work. That actually might work as a commercial. I don't know.
I'm amazing. I'll just make it off the top of my head. Hit it. Flesh colored beard. Yeah, flesh colored beard. Cause a darker colored beard would be real weird. So use just for men.
Why do you end with Ed Hardy?
Because
what does it have to do with
the father of the Church of Sick, my own church that I've started in Malibu. My Ed Hardy up above. I pray to thee. You were begotten, not made. One in being with the Father. Affliction.
What are you talking about?
Sick.
Parkour. I hate to admit this because you're an idiot, Spencer, but you may actually have a talent on this jingle thing. I think some of these might work.
Kevin? Broke and poor. Yeah, you're broke, and you're broke and poor. That's behavior that I don't condone. So call us up and get a loan. Yeah, Wells Fargo. Check the technique, kid. Neckbeard crystals on my chest.
None of those people are going to hire you.
Oh, yeah, sure, Fatticus Finch. You don't know me.
But don't you think that just by seeing you associated with a product, it's going to turn a certain segment of the audience away from that product because they hate you so much?
What? No, because, listen.
You are pretty universally hated.
It's like Peter Cetera told me, buddy.
What are you
saying? I'm the man who will fight for your honor. I'll be the hero you're thinking of. John Wayne doesn't know that.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, even the enemy in the movie who wears the black hat, everybody wants to cheer for him. You know why? Gravity. Yeah, gravity is the force that pulls you down to the ground. Centrifugal force from the universe. Everybody loves gravity except for chicks with floppy boobs.
Okay.
Yeah, but my Aryan Queen Heidi doesn't have that problem. You know why? Because she's got giant ones. I'm sorry. Anal fiend porn. I'm going to name it something really cool, like Killed in the Line of Booty.
Okay. We're out of time, Spencer. We got to go. Good luck with that.
Hey!
I don't think so. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 8:53.
Thank you, Asian guy from the Neptunes. Those beats are fresh.
Yeah, they sure are. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, how about I give away some tickets to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Cedar Rapids. Boy, does this movie look funny.
We have a winner, believe it
or
not.
We don't have a winner. I just started talking.
Oh.
The movie was a smash hit at the Sundance Film Festival. Everyone says it's very funny. The trailer looks amazing. Ed Helms stars from The Office. John C. Reilly co-stars. Anne Heche. Spectacular lineup of very funny people. If you'd like to go, it happens Thursday, February the 10th.
I don't care.
I've got 5 pairs of tickets to give away in total, so the first 5 callers who call right now, 1-800-520-1067, will win
a pair of passes to see Cedar Rapids before anybody else. If you don't win, don't worry. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 11th. You can check it out.
Sounded shaky.
I just wanted to double check.
All right.
It says here in select theaters, so it may not be in as many theaters as I thought. But
gotcha.
Looks like it's worth finding.
Be able to find it, yeah.
Exactly. Remember the late Farrah Fawcett passed away?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2009, at the age of 62. Mm-hmm. She was a sex symbol, an icon, and perhaps no photograph best captured her iconic sexuality than that legendary poster where she was wearing that red one-piece jumpsuit in that poster, and she had her giant eraser-sized nipples sticking out. Oh, love that poster. I had fond memories of that poster. As Steve Martin used to say, I tried to contact Farrah Fawcett, wrote her a letter, she never wrote me back. That bitch. When I think of all the hours I spent holding up her poster with one hand.
Oh, see.
Well, that very same swimsuit has been donated to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. How about that? You'll be able to go to the museum and see that swimsuit. Okay. What if they have a scratch and sniff section of the museum?
What section would that... I mean, if you went
Look,
to the Smithsonian...
they've got the Aerospace Museum, right?
Right.
They've got the Pop Culture Smithsonian Museum.
Right.
Why don't they have a Scratch and Smith Museum?
But they don't. But I'm saying if I'm going to the Smithsonian, where would I look for that?
Oh, they have a bunch of iconic
like pop
TV
culture?
Stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
They've got Fonzie's jacket in there, and they got like
Archie Bunker's chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. I almost got it out.
What he said.
Yeah. I'm just saying, a lot of stuff you can go and see there. And that is
now
there.
That's there.
Now. To Tom Bien as well. There will be another Jack Ryan movie.
Nice.
Remember Jack Ryan?
Sure.
It all started with Alec Baldwin. He played him in Hunt for Red October. Then Harrison Ford took over. Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger. Then Ben Affleck took over in The Sum of All Fears.
Oh, yeah.
Three of those four movies were very good.
Was that last one the suspect
I'm
one?
Not saying. The new Jack Ryan film will star Chris Pine.
All right.
Captain Kirk.
He's right. Believable. That makes sense.
It is believable. Apparently it will be a young Jack Ryan. 23-year-old platoon leader in the Marines. And how he's taking off and fighting crime and badness.
I don't care.
I like Chris Pine. I think it'll be good.
I do too.
Looking forward to seeing that. Series revitalized also. Speaking of reboots, Superman, of course, is being brought back. We learned this week that Henry Cavill will be playing Superman and Clark Kent. Now everyone's talking about who's going to play Lois Lane. The rumor earlier in the week was Olivia Wilde would be taking over.
Oh,
the role.
Great choice.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, the hot rumor on the internet was that Kristen Stewart was in talks with producers.
Not as great a choice.
Given those two choices, I think it's obvious.
Now, Lois Lane, for folks who haven't seen the TV show or the movies previously, very very perky, energetic.
Ballsy. She's
ballsy,
a broad.
Yeah.
She's a broad. She doesn't take guff off anyone,
hard-nosed.
Mister.
Yeah.
She takes no guff.
This is the word guff.
I mean, she
Perry
emasculates.
White, editor for the Daily Planet.
Clark Kent, right? I mean, she's way more of a man than Clark Kent
is
in the office.
She's a hard-nosed reporter with a nose for news and goes out there and gets a story no matter what's the cost. Often it lands her in the soup. And so Superman has to come by.
What is landing in the soup? What does that mean? What did you turn into my dad?
Superman has to come by and get her out of Dutch.
She has problems with the fuzz?
Now, she has problems with the fuzz sometimes.
Now, Kristen Stewart, she just pouts, right? I mean,
she
that's
pouts
just,
and sulks.
That's
and
her thing.
Looks longingly. She would not be a good choice, I'm saying, for Lois Lane.
She's not.
You need somebody with
an A-type personality.
Some gumption.
No one uses that word either.
Moxie?
She's got a moxie, see?
Is Kristen Stewart the type of actress that Twitard fans will follow to another movie outside of the franchise?
Oh, I don't know.
You know the term moxie originally came from the soda in the 1920s?
Oh, my God.
Wow. I still buy it. I still buy moxie.
Filled
soda.
With caffeine and sugar, and if you had a bunch of moxie, it made you all hyped up so that they would say, boy, he's full of moxie. And that's where Moxie came from the brand name of a soda pop.
Yeah.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
Just saying, we were talking about Moxie.
Yeah.
Just talking about Moxie.
Yeah. Shut your mouth.
Oh, I hate you both so much.
Bean still buys Moxie.
I do. I still like Moxie.
How surprising is it Bean buys a soda from
none
the
1920s? At all. It's not surprising
a
bit.
He tries to live his entire life in another decade. Yeah.
Good
time. I wish I could get it delivered like I do my milk in bottles.
You're just encouraging him, Ralph.
Does it come to you in a cart drawn by a horse in the morning?
No, a guy actually has a truck, but he does deliver it in bottles.
I got to get a quick email in here while I got a chance. This comes from listener James...
I'm sorry?
James Schenkelberg sends this in. Ralph, I was recently at a big music convention the other week, and I saw a new line of instruments where they combined two instruments into one.
Come on.
It's true, Mike.
That's weird.
James says one was a flute. It was also a small stringed guitar. I turned to the guy in the booth and I said, "Hey, that flute's a ukulele."
Stop it.
Thank you, James, for sending that in.
Ralph certainly has a lot of imagination.
I appreciate you.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Appreciate you giving the love, James. Sorry I laughed at your last name, but it was hard to pronounce. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dave Davies of the legendary rock band The Kinks celebrates his 64th birthday. Morgan Fairchild, who, by the way, I was corrected, was not on Falcon Crest. She was, in fact, on Road. Flamingo Road is the answer we were looking for.
No one was looking for the answer. Nobody cares.
I'll take Morgan Fairchild TV shows for 100, Alex.
It's important to get the correction on the air and in the record.
It
nope,
is.
Nope, there's no record. Don't
there is
care.
A record.
Didn't care the first time. Don't care about the retraction.
61 years old today. Nathan Lane is 55. Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place is 52. Maura Tierney is 46 years old. Actress Isla Fisher celebrates her 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman, and I'm full of moxie.
Apparently, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are moving offices and having to get rid of a lot of crap that has accumulated over the years, most of it promotional in nature. We are stacking them deep and selling them cheap, and this is the second to the last day, am I right about this, guys, that we're actually going to be giving away crap on the KBC channel?
You're watching KBC.
And by crap, you mean premium items.
Well, you like to think so, but let's face it, it's the type of stuff that's not valuable enough that we feel like it's worth keeping in the office when we move.
No, it's the highest of value. We're just moving this volume of product at a low, low price.
Right. Which is...
nothing.
Zero.
Which is nothing. All right. So if you want free crap, or as Kevin likes to euphemistically call it, premium items, you can pick up the phone and call right now, 1-800-520-1067. It's unbelievable how much stuff had been in the office for, in some cases, 10 years. Stuff had been hanging out that nobody was using, nobody had any interest in, but we still hung on to it.
You're watching KBC.
Is it true that we would, if we weren't giving this stuff away, we would throw it in the trash?
No. It's much too valuable to throw away. That's why we feel compelled to give it to our fine, fine listeners who we hold in the highest of esteem.
All right. Now, have a bunch of items on the wheel over there.
We've got a wheel of high-quality...
premium items.
...merchandise that we are offering to the Kevin and Bean listeners at a low, low price. With high, high value, but low, low prices.
Low, low prices. Just a phone call. 1-800-520-1067. As we go to Lewis on line one, what channel are we watching, Ralph? I'm sorry, I forgot.
You're watching KBC.
Okay, KBC. That's it. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, thank you.
Lewis, thanks for calling in. Let's see what you win this morning.
Good luck. We got a lot of good items.
Oh, one of my favorites. It is the Batman villain Two-Face Beer Stein.
What is that?
Well, Lewis, you are in luck. Do you have a split personality when you drink? Is one side dark and evil and the other good and kind? Well, the ceramic Two-Face Beer Stein is perfect for you. Batman's arch-villain Two-Face can now be your constant drinking companion. Much more fun than getting stoned with the Joker or doing blow with the Riddler, but not quite as much fun as rolling on E with Catwoman. Congratulations, Lewis.
Thank you.
Thanks, that's a sweet item.
Good luck
Hang
with
on.
That.
And see, that was from high value.
Right.
Low, low price.
Correct.
But wasn't that the movie that Tommy Lee Jones was in, the Batman movie, from how many years ago, Ralph?
Some 30 years.
Whoa. Two-Face also came out.
Yeah, he was in.
Yeah, but this one is from the Tommy Lee Jones one.
This is
the one from Batman Returns or Batman Again.
Yeah,
or
that's
Batman,
what I figured.
Batman hits the bathroom. Or
let's
whatever.
Go to Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, what's up?
Oh, Anthony, you're in luck. You're gonna get some high quality value product at the low price. Oh my goodness, congratulations, Anthony. Or should I say, hola, amigo. ¿Cómo se dice dictionary en español? You will always know the answer to that question with this well-worn copy of Kevin and Bean's Webster's Spanish to English Dictionary. Anthony turns Mariposa into butterfly and turns Bean into a frijole. Arriba, muchacho! Buena suerte.
Hey, that's a great item that I think most people in Southern California should keep in their car anyway. So well done.
Absolutely.
Anthony said, good, I'm trying to learn Spanish.
See, high value, low, low prices. That's what we do here at KBC.
Gina, hi.
You're watching KBC.
Hi.
You're watching.
I could have used the Spanish dictionary. You could have Spanish this semester.
It's gone.
See, it's gone. See, that's how high value these products are. They're moving out the door. We can't keep them for too long.
That's right.
Once how about the life-size Britney Spears? It was not on the deck.
That's still.
I think that was
still
given away yesterday.
No, still on the wheel. Yesterday?
No, yeah.
Oh, we still got it.
Still
okay,
on the wheel.
I wish you the best of luck. Let's spin and see what happens.
I don't know what she wants to do with a life-size Britney Spears.
Witch!
Hey, that's none of your business.
You're a witch!
What?
Congratulations, Gina. You have won the life-size Britney Spears two-dimensional cutout.
What?
No way.
What are the chances?
Do you find Britney Spears a little two-dimensional? Well, wait until you meet her up close and personal in glorious cardboard. What will you do with the Britney Spears Pepsi publicity standee? Well, that's your own business, but you'll be happy to know it is life-size, and it wouldn't be too hard to cut out a hole in it to the size of your liking.
I don't know what Gina's going to do with that hole, but that's what I did, Ralph.
You got what you wanted. Nice work.
That is weird. She said it, and it came true.
That's strange. That doesn't usually happen.
All right, we're going to give away more tomorrow, but we have time for one more item. If you want to bring Ken into the conversation, we'll spin the wheel one last time and give something away.
Ken.
Yes. I'm here.
Good luck. Ken. Good luck.
Ken.
Would you like a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play? Well, you're one step closer with this real-life cowbell from Home on the Range.
Perfect.
Yes, Ken.
You got a cowbell.
The smash hit animated movie made cowbells a must-have accessory in homes across America, and now you won't be left out. Machine molded from gorgeous copper, this bell is sturdy enough to take the hardest ringing, but light enough to be easily moved.
Oh. What the hell was Home on the Range, Ralph? I don't even remember that animated movie.
It was a animated movie with a cow in it.
I don't know. Either.
I see. Okay.
But they sent out cowbells.
They gave us everybody a cowbell.
Congratulations, Ken.
Thank you, man. Thanks for watching KBC.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:38.
It's been a great week, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's only Thursday.
Have a fantastic weekend.
It's only Thursday.
Enjoy the Super Bowl.
It's not Friday.
Well, I'm trying to end the end of the show.
It's only it's Thursday. It's not Friday.
Pass it over.
We have a show to do tomorrow. And a big show to do tomorrow.
Boy, are you a downer.
Come on now.
F and get with the program, man. We got a system going on
here.
I'd
like to make it Friday, but it isn't.
I honestly feel like we've been playing the Doe Bogart song at the end of Friday's show so long that if we played it, everybody would just accept that it was Friday and pack up and go home.
No one would show up to work tomorrow.
I know.
Right. You barely show up to work during the week.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat of the Kevin and Bean Thursday show. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, who let the dogs out? Is the question they're asking over there on the Animal Planet?
No,
the cable network.
That.
Yes, they are, Kevin.
Are they?
This isn't about the Puppy Bowl.
Have you seen
the
commercials for Puppy Bowl 7?
Oh, no.
Who let the dogs out? That's what they play in the commercials.
Who let the dogs out?
Who
let the dogs out?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough competition this year, right, Ralph?
So this
Puppy Bowl 7.
This is where you tune in and you just watch puppies play?
Yes.
With each other?
Ew. Yes.
Well. Okay.
And, Kevin, this year there's an all-kitten halftime show.
Oh, see, right there, you just ruined it. You just sullied the whole thing.
See, you get the first half of the Puppy Bowl, then you take some time out for the kittens, and then second half of the Puppy Bowl.
All right, you have a choice. You either have to watch the Puppy Bowl, Kevin, or you have to watch the Bud Bowl. Which one do you watch?
Bud Bowl.
Lingerie Bowl, that's what I watch.
Lingerie Bowl. Another good choice.
Interestingly enough, this year's Puppy Bowl will be refereed by Michael Vick.
No.
Which I thought was an interesting choice.
I don't care.
I'm betting on Vic.
That's a terrible
choice. If there's
choice.
Any wagering going on the Puppy Bowl, I'm still betting on him.
You can't bet on the ref.
A lot of pressure on the dogs to win.
When the smoke clears, I'm telling you, there's going to be one guy standing. That's all I'm telling you.
What about the dogs?
What about
the
dogs?
What about the dogs?
What about the dogs?
Good question.
What about the whoops? Huh? MTV has announced they're premiering the TV version of Teen Wolf on June 5th.
What now?
This will be immediately following the MTV Movie Awards. Of course, you all remember Teen Wolf, the smash hit 1985 film starring Michael J. Fox.
I remember that it existed.
Ah, he was a young man who turned into a werewolf. Because his dad was a werewolf. It was passed down from generation to generation.
But he didn't know that, did he?
He hit puberty, became a wolf.
Yeah.
And then he started playing some b-ball.
That's right.
And the ladies loved him.
Now, Psycho Mike,
he would be able to surf on top of your car.
Right.
It's awesome.
Psycho Mike told us a story, Ralph. I think you were already out of the room about a special personal connection he has to the Teen Wolf movie.
Mike, what's your special personal connection to the Teen Wolf movie?
There's a scene where Michael J. Fox's character comes to walk to school with his longtime buddy, Boof.
Boof!
They're just platonic friends, but he learns a lesson about her in the end, of course.
That's right.
And he walks her to school. Boof's house, my childhood home.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, you're better than all of us now.
Did they film it while you lived there?
Yeah.
You win.
Yeah, you don't see the inside of the house, but like they use the whole front yard and the house, and they filmed it there like during the day for a long period of time. I was a little kid. I thought it was so cool.
Did you meet Boof?
I didn't get a chance to meet the Boof, nor Michael J. Fox.
He wouldn't let you out of the house?
Yeah.
Have you locked in the basement?
Keep that douchebag inside.
I was four, so I mean, right. I just would have ruined the set.
Ralph, refresh my memory because it's been a while. At the end of the game, in the final game, the championship game, his team, he doesn't want to turn into Wolf because he wants to win it as a human, right? Is that what the storyline is?
His own, with his own powers of basketball, not relying on the superhuman powers of his Wolf self.
Exciting story.
We all learn a very important lesson about who we really are and what's really important. And
not interested.
Fame and attention at the end of the day really isn't important as the love of a good woman.
Okay.
That's bullshit.
He finds out that he loves the Boof.
Is that right?
He loves it in the Boof.
Yeah, I remember. It's a very different ending.
It all gets foggy for me. Sad news for Cape fans. I count myself among them. Cape has been canceled. Apparently, NBC has decided to cut the order short for the series. They've already filmed 10 episodes. That's all they will be filming, and now they will just either run off or not run off the remainder of those episodes. So say goodbye to the Cape.
Hate to see it go. It was a big part of my life.
You know, Summer Glau. Summer Glau, yeah. Your buddy, was on the Cape.
I love her. I didn't even know that.
She played Orwell.
Did you say Glau down?
She played the secret tech geek that helped the Cape fight crime.
I love her.
I do too, and I will miss her enormously.
I know you were looking forward to the show because you're a geek, Ralph. But
what? Was it good? I enjoyed it. I did.
Yeah. But would most people enjoy it?
I think most people probably didn't enjoy it, and that's why it got canceled. All right. That's my guess.
That's a good guess.
Wow, you do work in television. Yeah, I understand the intricate inner workings of the television industry.
I think what Kevin's asking is, the show was massively popular, Ralph?
Yes, it was massively popular. And yet, NBC still opted to cut short its order.
Damn them.
You have to understand how TV works. You don't know Japanese business.
I guess not.
Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow's shooting back at us.
Fog.
She's firing back.
What's going on with Gwyneth?
Remember how we picked on her Goop?
Well, yes. Lisa has made it a cottage industry every day to go to Goop and mock it.
Remember how we said her Goop stinks?
It's a website that she has where she recommends, like, high-end stuff, right?
Yes. For those of you who enjoy snails, I say go to Chateau Cochon.
Right.
Talk to Henri and buy the $5,000 snail package.
The next time you're in Monaco,
when you're entertaining guests, I recommend you drink out of diamonds. So we do. We hollow out diamonds and sip champagne from them.
Guys, not everything is for everybody, though. What's wrong with a site that caters to
the ultra-rich?
They're wealthy people, yeah. I mean, they need information,
too. Not interested.
Too.
Here's the problem, dude. If you've gone there, you realize that she's trying to cater to the everyone.
Right. She acts like she's every man, but her suggestions are all ridiculously expensive and out of your league.
You may have liked the boots I was wearing at the red carpet at such and such. If you'd like your own more consumer-friendly price point on these boots, check these out for only $485.
Right. These are so affordable, anyone can have them.
They're a steal.
And also, try my golden socks that are made from actual gold. Anyway, we mock her Goop, and now she's firing back. She says, anytime you do anything with a degree of sincerity, people make fun of you. Shut up. You're right. Yeah, it's us. It's not you. That's totally fine. I don't care. I don't read any of it. Right. My thing with Goop has always been, if you don't like it, then don't log on to it.
Lisa.
There have been a couple of times.
Sent to me.
There have been a couple of times when I thought, I'm just going to stop doing it. People are so mean to me.
Oh, don't deprive us of that.
But then I was like, who cares what some lame person out there says?
Oh, no, she didn't.
I was in Italy once, and this old man came up to me and said, I had the best time in Nashville because of Goop. So that was worth it to me, Gwyneth wrote.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Goop the old man was talking about. and your Goop are very different Goops. He had a good time in Nashville because of Goop, but it wasn't had nothing to do with your website. He was just bragging.
Don't sound sexy.
Bragging about some whore he found in Nashville.
Yeah.
So anyway, she doesn't like us.
It's all right.
That's all I'm saying.
Does Goop ever recommend bras that would make her A-cups not hit her navel?
Oh, I don't believe that's been on the list yet.
It would be helpful.
Well, that would be useful.
Yeah.
Speaking of boobs, Playboy magazine has announced they are doing a celebrity nude pictorial. The spread will feature the legendary Mercedes Johnson.
Who's the celebrity, though?
Mercedes Johnston.
Famous
younger sister of Levi Johnston, who had sex with Bristol Palin and gave her a baby that made Sarah Palin a grandmother.
Okay.
She's 18 years old.
Okay.
And she's going to be in Playboy in their celebrity nude pictorial.
Okay.
Mercedes Johnston. Right.
Very loose definition of celebrity.
That is not a celebrity. First of all.
No.
Second of all, I've seen pictures. She can be hot if taken at the right angle.
I'd like to see her naked.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you'd like to see everyone naked.
True. Right.
You'd like to see me naked.
I would like that.
I know you would.
Not Gwyneth Paltrow.
You're just that guy. No, not Gwyneth Paltrow. Congratulations to David Blaine and his fiancée, Alizé Gwenoche is her name. They just had a baby in the least convenient way possible.
What does that mean?
They're in New York City, and her water broke during the blizzard.
Ooh.
And they couldn't get a ride to the hospital. There were no cabs on the streets of Manhattan. So Blaine went out into the street and flagged down a snowplow. Grabbed his fiancée, they hopped in the snowplow, and the plow driver gave them a lift to the hospital.
Why couldn't he wave his little magic wand and make all the snow melt?
Or just make the baby pop out of her vagina.
Yeah. Guys, he doesn't do real magic.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't even try magic anymore. He just, like, sits in ice and stuff.
It's no kid of his if the baby can't hold its breath for 24 That's hours true. Till they get to the hospital. You know what I'm saying?
Great point.
That's true. He could do it forever, man. I've seen it. I've seen him in a block of ice and stuff. Snow shouldn't stop that kid. Kids come out with like a wand and some cards.
Doing card tricks on day one?
That would have been awesome.
Pick a card, any card.
Street magic. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Dave Davies of the Kinks, 64 years old today. I don't think he and his brother Ray Davies talk anymore. They founded the Kinks. I believe they're not in conversations anymore.
I think you're right.
They are sort of the Gallagher brothers of that era.
So they fought all the time?
Fought all the time. Mm-hmm. Morgan Fairchild, the actress, is 61 years old today. Nathan Lane. Celebrates his 55th birthday. Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place and Melrose Place 2.0. He is 52 years old. Maura Tierney celebrates her 46th birthday. And Isla Fisher celebrates her 35th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, we've got an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Minka Kelly.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
What does that sound? That scares me.
If you love Minka Kelly as much as you're now claiming, Ralph, you would have watched Friday Night Lights when she was on it for three freaking seasons.
You know, there's all kinds of pictures of Minka Kelly I can find everywhere else that I don't have to sit through.
But she was so hot on that show. Oh, yeah.
Don't you have to, like, track a van down and get a VHS copy of that show?
No, it's not that hard to find.
We're
going
to
beat Austin Polytech.
We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We are going to talk to Andrew Siciliano, who is in Dallas for the Super Bowl. We have LaQuisha taking a look at the Jersey Shore. We have actor, director, comedian, writer Kevin Smith in studio tomorrow.
Smitty.
So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got the 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the latest from 30 Seconds to Mars. Also some Black Keys, 3 Days Grace, believe that or not. Foo Fighters and Florence and the Machine, too, all coming up on K-Rock.